Well, at least doing our best impression of Ron Milhorn and Jack DeBoer.
We'll do the best we can.
Good Friday afternoon, everybody. This is Pat Dupre with the boss, Gabe Chenoweth.
There's a reason why the boss tries to stay away from sports.
And we're here live at Subaru Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs, getting ready to call what should be a really good game. Can you believe football? It is March, right?
It is March, and you know what? This afternoon, I was standing outside on the front porch, and it's definitely football weather, even though it's March. It felt like a September afternoon.
It really did. 65 degrees when I looked as I was walking out the door, headed over here earlier today. Mm-hmm. Glenwood and Aspen should be a really good game. Two teams that haven't really played that much as far as rivalries recently because they've been in two completely different leagues. But this year, with everything going on, everybody's pretty much in 3A in the Valley. We got a few down in 2A, but a lot of folks playing up to 3A, and it will be really interesting. Aspen, you were telling me, has a huge roster, actually. Of course, they don't travel with them all.
No, that is, what did I say, 72 kids on the Aspen roster,
yeah.
I think I counted. 67 kids on the Aspen roster. So,
which is amazing for a program that actually wasn't there for a while.
Exactly. And, of course, Glenwood has 64. They're dressing quite a fewer kids than that tonight.
Right. Of course, COVID having an impact on everything, not only the fact that we're playing in March.
There is that.
They can only dress so many players. They can only travel so many players as well.
And I think we were talking about this. I didn't have a chance to ask anybody, but it looks to us like they have some restrictions still for seating outside as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there is, like you were saying, we didn't get a chance to ask, but it's a little sparse, to say the least.
Mm.
We are finally starting to see some people gathering on the visiting side, but only a handful, and the Glenwood side's a little better represented. But, of course, we're not quite to kickoff yet, about 8 minutes away. So good time for everybody to get in here and fill in.
Thank you for joining us tonight, by the way. As long as there are restrictions, and we always try to cover as many local teams as we can, and obviously the more restrictions there are, the more we try and cover more local teams as we did with basketball. By the way, speaking of Aspen, congratulations to the Aspen Skiers boys team for making it as far as they did. I believe finally eliminated in the Grade 8 game earlier this week. So congratulations to them for that. That's fantastic. You always like to see the local. If your particular school can't make it, you always like to see the local teams make it. And I believe one of the Eagle County schools. Why am I drawing a blank? See, this is when we say we're doing an impression. We're not replacing Ron and Jack. By the way, Ron is just not available tonight, of course. Jack is still recovering from a nasty case of COVID-19, and we see his updates on Facebook and see that he is doing a little bit better every day. But as I mentioned this morning, Jack can still use your help in covering those costs associated with the recovery from COVID-19, the oxygen and stuff like that. If you'd like more information about that, just go to our website at kmts.com. And again, Jack and Linda, Jennifer and Amber and Galena all sincerely appreciate all of the outpouring of support. I'm just one of of tens of thousands of students of Jack DeBoer's over his storied career, starting at Rifle Junior High School and then Riverside Junior High School, so he didn't have to change the abbreviation on any of his equipment when he brought it to Newcastle.
Was that handy?
And then, of course, the Garden School and Liberty Classical Academy.
Right.
And as I said, you can hear the smattering of applause. The crowd that is here is into it, but just a small crowd at Stubler Memorial Field tonight.
Glenwood definitely seeming like they are ready to roll. They've been without football for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there is some spring ball, but it's not usually competitive games. So,
how many years? I was looking at the rosters. I see that they have like archived rosters, but it did not go back to. It only went back to like 2007. I was looking for a certain defensive end on the roster. But they don't go back that far.
They don't go back that far. I think we had just gotten out of the leather helmets by that point. 2000 was actually, I guess 99 was technically my last year playing, graduating.
Right, because Isn't it funny how I'm complaining about how nervous I am, and then you can't shut me up once we actually get on?
That's all right. It's much preferable to the alternative of going, come on, keep giving me something. But Glenwood getting ready to play, of course. Glenwood in their classic red and white. Got the numbers on the side of the helmet, which they've had the last few years. But some others, you know, they've got the new G. It's amazing to see the different formats the uniform's gone through. Aspen in their white, all-white uniforms with white numbers outlined in red, I think.
I can hear Ron and Jack complaining already.
I have to wear glasses, but I usually see better than this, and I can barely read the numbers all the way across the field. But they've got these really cool matte black helmets, so it'll be a good game and interesting to call the Aspen players' numbers once we get there. But two teams that are definitely ready for some football, probably beyond ready. Glenwood, of course, coached by Pat Engel, and Aspen by Travis Benson, and looking forward to some really, really good football. We're getting ready to kick off here in just a few minutes between these two Valley teams. Now, at least for this spring season, in the same league.
Sorry. Again, it's not Ron and Jack on the air tonight. Ron was not available. Jack, of course, is still recovering from COVID-19 and just trying to get the game on the air for you best we can. You know, Basalt is playing tomorrow, number 6 ranked Basalt. We tried to figure out a way that we could get that on the air and just could not make it happen, but we will continue to do all we can throughout the season, the 6-game season for local teams, to get on as many games as we can.
And speaking of Basalt, of course, Glenwood goes and sees them on the 10th of April. This is a 6-game season that'll be interesting. I had to double check myself really quick. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out because, of course, some teams throughout the state played in the fall.
Right. None of the local teams.
Right, though. Right. Yeah, Western Slope, I believe everybody is playing in the spring, correct?
Yes.
So just the Front Range teams for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see how that shapes the playoffs.
There's the anthem.
The actual title game. Take a break for our national anthem. Maybe.
We've already got a false start. False start.
The officials are being kind and not throwing the flag.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Glenwood Springs High School. Student Revealed and Glenwood Demon Football. This time, you all please rise as our Air Force ROTC Color Guard presents our colors, consisting of American Rifle Tech Sergeant Lindsey Jewell, American Flag Captain Mariah Carlson, Colorado Flag Captain Bryce Johnson, and Colorado Rifle Senior Master Sergeant Morgan Noteboom. Please remain standing for our national anthem.
So there's the presentation of the colors as they're bringing the flags out across the field. The crowd all standing in reverence. That's fantastic. It sounded like the recording they used during basketball games.
It probably is the same one.
And I think it was the Glenwood High School choir that they actually just recorded. But, yeah, fantastic job.
And, of course, really neat thing they've had here at Glenwood the last how many years for ROTC?
It's been at least 10.
Yeah. With ROTC having their own color guard, being able to bring out their the colors, have everything there at center at midfield, and it's
It's
really neat to see.
Very own Jess Tuttle, which helped us out at KMTS for a while, and you and I worked with in different contexts. The future chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So she attended Air Force Academy and graduated, I believe, a year or two ago. And I don't know exactly what she's doing, but I do know that she did advance beyond the Air Force Academy and was a great on their dive team, our swim and dive team at Air Force Academy. So
looks like Glenwood Springs will be
I know her parents are really proud of her.
Right.
Of course, her dad served too.
Looks like Glenwood will receive and back to receive for Glenwood. Alex Heisig and see if I can find that Jeremy Bradshaw back to receive. For Glenwood, like kicking off for Aspen. Once he stands up, I can get you a number and let you know, hopefully. Refs are making sure everybody's in place and ready to go before they allow Aspen to go ahead and kick off. And, of course, we are searching at these really hard-to-read Aspen numbers. There we go. Refs are getting giving them space. And here we go. A little football for the 2020 technical season. And Aspen starts off. It doesn't even go 5 yards. Looks like they were trying to do a little onside kick almost. And Glenwood's going to have the ball with great field position sitting at Aspen's 46-yard line. I'm not sure if that's the best way to start your football season on a odd year to begin with, but they went ahead and tried. So back at quarterback for Glenwood, be Evan Heil. I believe he was a starting quarterback last year. If not, he did see a bunch of time. And going to have this pretty much running offense with the double wing, double tight type setup. I believe they're getting everything set up. They are. They got a single back. Heil under center, getting ready to take the first snap of the season. Pitches it. Great pickup by Glenwood, running the ball on that one.
Garrett Dollahan.
It was Garrett Dollahan and did a great job. Picks up 9 yards. Brings up a second and one for Glenwood. Aspen was actually doing a pretty good job with the pursuit, but some great blocking by Glenwood's offensive line.
Number 10, Kyle McCammy.
Who made that tackle?
And they actually gave him the first down.
Okay, so we'll call it 10 yards.
They gave him 10 yards. Glenwood out quick. They did huddle up, but they broke it pretty quick. Heil back, goes to pass, and he's going to be dropped. They lost all the yardage that they had at the beginning of the game, and they're going to go ahead and mark that ball at the 49.5-yard line on that tackle.
Actually, 20 yards on the play. Back to the 46-yard line.
I believe it was Christian Marcano. But there was a whole slew of white jerseys. Whatever was supposed to happen for Glenwood on that play looked like it was a busted play because Aspen came clean through the line on that one. We're just underway here, 11 minutes and counting in the first quarter. Glenwood takes a snap, Hiles out, lead blocking for Blake Nieselanik. Nieselanik making up all the yardage they lost on that play and actually picking up about 2 yards. That'll bring up
10 yards on the
third and eight.
We have a flag up on the
but we do have a penalty. We'll have to sit here and see what that is going to be.
And once again, I am so cognizant of what Ron and Jack do every Friday night during football season.
Holding on Glenwood. That'll back him up 10 yards from the previous spot. So Glenwood going the wrong direction to start things. That'll put the ball on the 40-yard line.
Second and 30 for the Demons.
Long down. Second and 30 for Glenwood. They had great field position to start. This puts them on their own 40-yard line now. Glenwood once again in the huddle. They break it pretty quick up to the line. Heil back in the shotgun. He's got two backs to each side of him, two receivers to his left. Does hand it off. Back to Blake Nieselanic. Nieselanic up through Aspen. Does manage to pick up quite a bit of yardage. Picks up 15 yards. Tackled on the play.
Up 15 yards on the play to the 46
yards. As soon as I can get it traced down here for you. Judd Gertman
brings up third and 20 for the Demons from the 46.
Third and 20 for Glenwood. 10:15 left to play in the first. We're just underway here. Glenwood finally getting some positive yardage without either taking a loss or taking a penalty. Heil back in the shotgun once again. Two backs to either side. Hands off to Nieselanic once again. Nieselanic through the line of scrimmage. Picks up about 6 yards, but it will bring up fourth down.
6 yards on that carry. Number 11.
And that was Charlie Williams on the tackle for Aspen. Good pursuit by Aspen. They actually are keeping track of all of Glenwood's misdirection and big sweeps really well. It's whether Glenwood decides to block for his guys. But like I said, I think that big loss they had earlier was a busted play. Something didn't seem right on that one. Glenwood is going to go for it. Fourth and 14. Heil under center. Pitch. And he's brought down at the line of scrimmage. That was
Rosa Markle
on that one, but yeah, could not advance it. It's Aspen's ball at their own 40-yard line. Good pursuit that time by Aspen. Aiden Quinn in there on the
first and 10. Steers ball on the 40.
Flynn, excuse me, on the tackle. Good pursuit. They read that one the whole way. Having not seen Aspen before, not exactly sure what offense to look at, but it looks like they're setting up in the shotgun. Three receivers to the left, one to the right, one back with the quarterback, and as soon as I can see a number, I'll tell you who it is. That would be number 10. Passes out of the backfield to the back.
Pass complete out of the flat.
Kyle McTemmie.
Number 6.
And that is complete to
Sillich.
Uh-huh. Storm Sillich. Aspen doesn't really huddle up. They do everything at the line of scrimmage. They look to the sideline to get the signals. And they do pretty much the same formation except in reverse. We've got three receivers to the right, one to the left, one back with the quarterback and shotgun. Back to pass once again. It's a long pass. The receiver is open, but he's overthrown. McTemmie overthrows his receiver, and unfortunately I can't tell you his name, but he was wide open. Glenwood was lucky on that play.
Third and 12 for the Steers.
It brings up third and 12 for Aspen. Glenwood is actually doing a pretty good job as far as reading and trying to keep track of the backs, but Aspen's wide receiver was able to get behind him that time. Had that ball been on place, we'd be looking at a 6-0 score right now. Two receivers to the right, one, two to the left, and one backfield back with McTemmie in the backfield. Back to pass once again. Almost intercepted. Jeremy Bradshaw almost had that one in his hands, but it is deflected. That does bring up fourth down for Aspen.
Intended receiver was number 15.
Judd Gertman was the intended receiver on that one for Aspen.
Jesus Morales.
Able to get in there and give him a little bit of pressure. Looks like Aspen is going to try a punt, although they do the rugby-style punt where they run it out to the back. Decent punt for Aspen. Gets out to Glenwood's 15-yard line. That's where Glenwood will take over with 8 minutes, 20 seconds left in the first quarter. Well, if you're just joining us, high school football. Yes, it is March, but we are still playing football. We're live at Stubler Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs as the Demons taking on the Skiers from Aspen. And I think getting through some initial nerves, everybody's been wanting to play football for so long. So things have been maybe not the cleanest game so far.
Certainly not from our perspective, anyway.
By the way, if you're trying to figure out who is this, Ron and Jack, of course, not able to make it. Ron's enjoying some time on the beach. That here in a second. Glenwood under center takes the pitch, manages to pick up a couple yards, and with that run, Heil pitched two. As soon as he gets up off the ground,
Garrett Dollahan
did a pretty good job cutting through that line. Glenwood's offensive line actually doing some pretty good road clearing for him.
Kyle McTamney.
McTamney on the tackle for Aspen.
Second and a short run.
Glenwood once again into the huddle, but they break it quick, getting ready. Heil back under center. Single back behind him. They do send somebody in motion. And that is Dollahan once again.
Dollahan again, the volunteer. Picks
up about 6 yards. That does give Glenwood a first down. Tackle on that play.
Number 17.
Made by
Mulfroyd.
Mulfroyd. Glenwood once again breaking the huddle pretty quick. Under center. Snap the ball. Do another pitch out. That one's to Blake Nieselanic. Once again, Nieselanic making some good yardage. Picks up about 6 yards. They might give him seven. We'll see where they end up spotting it. On that tackle is, once again, a reason why you put the number first on a roster. Aiden Flynn. And they actually give it to Small on that one as well.
So up to, what is that, the 37?
We are at the 37-yard line. Yep, gain of six. Second and four. Out of the shotgun. They do hand it off. Back to Blake Nieselanic. Nieselanic running for his life, but he's got good. He's able to turn the corner. Does pick up the first down, and that'll put the yard at Aspen's 48-yard line. Good blocking. He was didn't look like he was going to be able to turn the corner there for a little bit, but he was able to catch a block to pick that up. We do have an injured Aspen skier on the field, and it is McTemmie. He does have the helmet off, sitting up, which is always a good sign, but they are looking at his left knee. So we'll see. Hopefully everything's going to be all right. Of course, all the players take a knee in respect for somebody playing, and
always appreciate to see that sportsmanship on the field.
And this was actually behind the play, so I don't think it was anything major. He does get up.
He's walking under his own power, too.
Have to come off the field for a play at least, but maybe not. He heads back to the Aspen side. Nope, there he goes. He's headed to the sideline. I thought you had to come off for at least one play. Always good to see him pop up like that and walk off under their own power.
That was actually a pass, wasn't it?
It was. No, it was a run out of the
was
backfield.
It? Okay.
Yep. It was a pitch.
That's right. Right. Okay. See, I told you. I told you you would regret asking
Boston. Because you're actually keeping track of the stats, which when I fill in, I have a hard time doing.
Well, we'll see how accurate they are when we're done here.
Heil back under center does send Nieselanic a false start on Glenwood. They went ahead and set Nieselanic in motion, but at the same time, we had a little movement on the offensive line. And, yep, that is the signal from the officials on Glenwood.
Calls on the Demons. We'll move the ball back 5 yards. Bring up first and 15.
So what was going to be a first and five now makes it a first and 15 for Glenwood.
So the 47.
That puts ball, yep, at the 47-yard line. Now, if Glenwood can clean things up, they might actually have some decent success here. First game of the season, you kind of expect this kind of thing. Especially, I know they've had some practices where everybody's had to be further away than normal. Pitch back to
Dollahan.
Yep. Makes some good yardage. Almost gives them a first down. They're going to go ahead and mark him about 2 yards short. That'll bring up third and two.
Tackle by number 18.
And that was a tackle by Aiden Flynn for Aspen. Good pursuit by Aspen, Aiden, but Glenwood doing a really good job blocking. They're able to get out in front of the runner, clear the road. Runner's able to turn that corner.
Second and two for the
side-to-side pursuit for Aspen is going to be key if they're going to try and shut down this Glenwood running game. Evan Heil back under center. Nisa Lanik in motion. They do give the pitch, or excuse me, the handoff up to...
That's some hard running.
Yeah, that is some hard running. And that's Garrett Dollahan once again. He goes up, picks up the first down, and they are going to give that to him at the 34-yard line for Aspen. On that
first and 10 for the Demons.
A whole bunch of Aspen skiers in on that tackle. My apologies for not getting all their names. The numbers are hard to see from all the way up here. We'll snag who we can. This time, Glenwood lines up in the shotgun. Heil back, two backs to either side of him. It's a handoff to Nieselanic. Nieselanic through the line, runs up. He's almost going to, he almost busts one loose. Does give him a first down. They're going to go ahead and mark that one down at the 18-yard line.
Tackled by Nate Thomas.
Yep, at the 18-yard line.
Glenwood ball on the 17-yard line.
The tackler on that one for Aspen was Thomas. And he was about the last one to be able to tackle him, or else they would have been into the end zone. Heil back in the shotgun. Dollahan and Nieselanic to either side of him. Hand off to Dollahan. He's going to get just outside. And is it a touchdown?
I don't think so. It's close.
There we go. Touchdown, Glenwood.
Okay.
First touchdown of the season with 4 minutes 58 seconds left in the first quarter. That one was close. Oh, Aspen almost had him at the goal line, but he was able to dive and just get it across the line. Glenwood is going for the PAT. It's always tough to tell if they're going to go ahead and kick it. Or do a 2 points. Kicking in high school is tough. And kicking for Glenwood is Tyler Thomas. Good sustained drive. They did have a couple penalties that threatened to ground things, but they just kept on pushing it, kept on running it, able to get down there and pick up 6.
I wish I was keeping track of the time because they had it, the ball, for a long time.
And it's good.
It is good.
Good to me. So there we go. 4 minutes, 58 seconds left in the first. Glenwood up 7-0 on Aspen. This is KMTS. Welcome back to Steubel Memorial Field, where the Glenwood Demons are taking on the Aspen Skiers. Glenwood just scores with 4 minutes, 58 seconds left in the first quarter. Gets the PAT. 7-0. Glenwood getting ready to kick off. Tyler Thomas on the kick. There we go. Sends it deep to receive for Aspen. He bobbles it. Does pick it up. Is able to get it back to the 10-yard line for Aspen. And on the return is Carson Catlinburg.
They do have 144 squinches of yellow grace in the field.
But we do have a penalty. We'll see who this is on. Didn't see any blocks in the back on Aspen's
first and 10 for the skiers on the 10-yard line.
Behalf. But it is on Aspen.
Holding is the call against
it. It's holding. And since they're on the 10-yard line, this will back them up, I believe, half the distance. Once again, yes, we are talking high school football in March due to COVID and everything else. Glenwood and most of the area teams, in fact, I think all the Western Slope teams decided to go ahead and postpone their seasons till the spring. And so a 6-game season is going to be in the books for, I think, all the area teams.
What's it feel like to you to be out here after playing in high school?
That's about 58 degrees, maybe. Aspen's ball. They start on their own 5-yard line after the penalty. Good news is their starting quarterback, who was injured earlier, Kyle McTemmy, is back to take it out of the shotgun. He does hand it off, but he does get sacked, and I believe he is. Oh, they're going to mark him at the 1-yard line. I thought he was in the end zone. Glenwood almost had the safety. They did try to hand it off. Glenwood didn't buy the misdirection. On that tackle, I
pushes the ball back inside the 1 yard line.
Believe
second and 14 for the Steers.
Oh, you know what? I couldn't tell who made it. That was some good defensive pressure by Glenwood. Aspen from inside the one, little jump there by Glenwood. That'll give Aspen a little more breathing room with 4:20 left in the first. Question is, were they brought off sides?
Encroachment is a call.
Nope, it is encroachment. They're going to go ahead and give Aspen a little more breathing room, about 5 yards. Second and nine brings the ball out to the 6 yard line. McTemmy back in the shotgun once again. Three receivers to his left, one to his right, back in the backfield with him. He hucks it up and is just outside the reach of his wide receiver, Charlie Williams. It'll bring up third and nine once again at their own 6 yard line for Aspen. Aspen looking like they're trying to throw the ball, but when you've got your backup against the goal line, it's not as easy as you might think, especially with Glenwood getting as much pressure as they are. On that defensive line for Glenwood. They gave it to him again. Got a jump there by Glenwood. And it does give him an extra 5 yards. Glenwood, the only thing keeping Aspen's drive alive right now. And that will give... Oh, it's still third down, but it's only third and four. It's still third and... Aspen does the old cadence, and then he stops and does the old check with me back to the sideline to make sure that they don't want to make any changes. Two receivers to the right, two receivers to the left, one back with McTemmy in the backfield. Does pass, and it's almost caught,
incomplete.
But it is incomplete. And that, I believe, was
intended for Heisfield.
Heisfield, yep, Brady Heisfield. But he had two Glenwood players there with him getting ready to say hello. Once he caught that play. That does bring up fourth and four. Aspen in their punt formation with that rugby-style catch and run off to one side and then kick it. Look. Kick is up. It does take an Aspen bounce. Glenwood staying away from it, and it looks like it's going to settle at the 49-yard line of Aspen. So it does give a little bit of room there for Aspen, but... not as much. Glenwood still in Aspen territory as they get ready to take the field. You asked what it was like to...
do you still get that same old feeling?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's that excitement for me when the national anthem was being played and the whole place was quiet except for either whoever was singing or playing the national anthem. That's... It just always got it for me. I always got excited right then, ready to go. Even if we weren't the ones taking the ball, and you know, I was going to be first out on the field for whatever reason, but I always got excited for that one. Glenwood, in their usual formation, Heil under center, does put the pitch out to Dollahan, I believe. Yep, it is Dollahan. He does pick up about 8 yards on that tackle for Aspen. Was number 17. Bo Freud. Good clean tackle by Mo Freud. He managed to get in there. Glenwood clearing out the initial front line as Mo Freud, defensive back, coming up to make that tackle. Heil under center. Single back behind him. Nieslanek in motion. But they give it to the up back. And they do go ahead. It's going to be real close to a first down. And I believe, once again, that was Garrett Dollahan. Yes, it was. And they do give him the first down. First down, Glenwood.
Play is good enough for a Demon first down. First and 10 from the 38-yard line.
Glenwood breaks out. They took a little longer that time, but not much changes. Still in their usual formation. Dollahan behind him, Nieslanek to his left. They do pitch it to Nieslanek. And Aspen manages to trip him up on that trip for Aspen, taking Nieslanek down with only a gain of about 2 yards, maybe 1 yard only, was Judd Gertman.
You've been calling his name quite a bit tonight.
He is. He's able to cover a lot of ground on that. I was trying to see if he was playing linebacker or defensive back because they don't have the positions on their roster. Heil out in the shotgun. Nieslanik and Dullahan to either side of him. He's got two receivers to his left, one to his right. Takes a snap, gives it to Dullahan. Dullahan met immediately at the line of scrimmage, almost in the backfield, but he is able to pick up about a yard. He is tackled by Charlie Williams. He's another one that's been all over the field.
Yep.
They are going to give him a pickup of two, but it does bring up 3rd and 7 for Glenwood with a minute 47 left in the first quarter. Glenwood trying to drive. They were able to keep Aspen pinned in their own territory. Almost had a sack for a safety earlier, but that's why they're sitting at the field position they're sitting at now. They do go ahead and pass it, but it's muffed. I think they're going to count that as an incomplete pass. Heil did try throwing that to Raymond Merkel. They do go ahead and call it an incomplete. It brings up 4th and 7. Glenwood's going to keep the offense out there. Heil coming out back out to the huddle with the play from the sideline. See if they can pick up these 7 yards to give them a fresh set of downs here as we get close to the end of the first quarter.
Interesting going for it on 4th and 1.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. The last punting situation they were in, they didn't go for it either. Heil under center, pitches it out to Nieslanik. Nieslanik does a great job running around the end. Does pick up the first down. That will put the ball at the 26-yard line. In on that tackle for Aspen.
Tackled by Noah Aiken.
Was Aiken.
As Jack would say, forget what I said.
Exactly. It is one of those. If it works, it works.
There you go.
Ball on Aspen's 26-yard line for Glenwood. First down, minute and change, ticking down here in the first quarter. Two receivers to the right, two backs with Heil in the backfield in the shotgun formation. One receiver to the right. Yep. Almost picked off, but a great great pickup by Dullahan. He is able to pick up, get to the 16-yard line, tackle on that play by Brady Heisfeld. And they're going to spot that at the 12-yard line.
1st and 10, Glenwood, ball spotted on
14 yards, not bad.
Yeah, oh, great play. Aspen had a player, and unfortunately I didn't catch the number, came in. Looked like he had a chance of picking that ball off, but I think it was just a shade early. And Dullahan able to snag that ball and make up some really nice yardage with it.
The misdirection was so good, I lost track of who had it.
Heil in the shotgun once again, but they're going to go ahead and stop action. With timeout, Glenwood.
Timeout.
So we'll go ahead and take a timeout ourselves. We're almost at the end of the first quarter, with 26 seconds left between Aspen and Glenwood. Glenwood leading 7-0. This is KMTS. Welcome back to Subaru Memorial Field as the Glenwood Demons are taking on the Aspen Skiers. Glenwood leading 7-0 with 26 seconds left in the first quarter. Glenwood close to knocking on the door. They've got the ball on the Aspen 12-yard line. Aspen almost didn't get it back on the field before Glenwood's ready to snap that ball. Heil under center. It's got Dullahan behind him. But it is a pitch. Excuse me, Dullahan took the pitch. He was actually on the right side. But they do get him in the backfield. It's going to be a run for no gain.
Looks like it was Hayesfield on that tackle.
That was Hayesfield on the tackle. Thank you, Mike Wild. We'll see if they elect to go ahead and take a play here before the quarter wraps up. I am betting they are not going to make it before we get there. That's a negative. So that's the end of the first quarter. Glenwood leading 7-0 over Aspen as we have high school basketball here in March. Basketball. Yes, this is the backup team, in case you hadn't guessed. And this is also KMTS. Welcome back to Stubel Memorial Field as we do have high school football. Yes, football in March. And Glenwood taking on Aspen. Glenwood leading 7-0 at the beginning of the second quarter. And we swap sides of the field. Now Glenwood sitting at Aspen's 12-yard line. Heil under center. He's got Nieslanik to one side. And Nieslanik does take the pitch. They go ahead and run it straight up. And he's in for the touchdown. On the tackle, at least they tried to save the tackle on that one for Aspen, was Judd Gertman. But Nees Lennox just had too much speed, and it carried him into the end zone for that one. As that now brings the score 13-0 Glenwood at the beginning of the second quarter. Glenwood does do PATs and field goals. And kicking is Tyler Thomas. He made the last one nice and clean, straight through the middle. He also does the kickoffs. It is back, almost blocked by Aspen. That one a little off the side, but it's still good. That brings the score to 14-0 Glenwood with 11 minutes, 54 seconds left in the second quarter. This is KMTS. With the mouse. Welcome back to Glenwood Springs at Stubel Memorial Field. Glenwood taking on Aspen, 14-0 at the very beginning of the second quarter. Glenwood getting ready to kick off. Thomas back once again as after making that PAT. Glenwood able to keep pretty much working on the Aspen side of the field. Aspen's trying to get things to go downfield, and they've been close. They've had a few passes just go a little errant. Back to receive for Aspen.
Ball fielded on the 10-yard line.
Is.
By the Skiers looking for some running room.
He's able to break a few tackles, put in a few jukes, got some nice fancy moves. That'll be marked at the 24-yard line.
And I still don't see who carried the ball. Sorry about that.
We'll take over first and 10 on the 24-yard line. 14-yard return by Pillins.
All right, Aspen back in their passing formation in the shotgun. Kyle Mc... I'm sure I'm not pronouncing there. Temeni?
What number is it?
10.
McTamini.
There you go, McTamini. They do the old... they give one cadence count, and they look at the... sideline to make sure they don't want to make any changes. Three receivers to his left. He does drop back to pass, and it's once again just over the head of his intended receiver. And that is his Brady Heisfeld. Just a little high. But there to bring him down real quick for Glenwood was Teddy Huttenhauer. Good coverage by Huttenhauer as he was right there. Didn't give him any space.
Second.
McTemini back to take the ball, the snap in. Shotgun once again does drop back to pass, and it is going to be just incomplete. Once again, just a little over his receiver's reach. They are real close to hooking up, but just can't quite line up yet. It's going to bring up third and 10 for Aspen, the intended receiver on that play. It may have been Heisfeld again. My apologies. The numbers for Aspen are at outline. White jerseys, white numbers in the outline. I don't even know if it's black. It's pretty faint. So my apologies for not getting names out there. It's Aspen really trying to stretch a field on Glenwood, though.
Carbon fiber, just like the helmets.
Exactly. McTemini back to take the shotgun snap. Does drop back to pass once again. And him and his wide receiver not on the same page. And that was definitely Heisfeld on that play. Well, that brings up fourth down for Aspen.
Teddy Huttenhauer was right there, though.
He was.
If
Huttenhauer
he would have caught it. Yeah.
Was not going to let him go anywhere. Was actually running right with him.
Yep.
Good coverage by Glenwood. Good pressure, too. McTemini has not had a clean pocket pretty much all night. I think he only had one or two passes in the last quarter that he was actually able to sit back and take a look at things.
Rosenmerkel back to receive.
They are going to go ahead and punt. Rosenmerkel back to receive for Glenwood. They do the old snap to the up back and then pitch to the punter. Rosenmerkel is going to catch it at the 38-yard line. He's going to break one tackle, break two tackles. He's up to the 50-yard line, to the 46-yard line for Rosenmerkel on that tackle for Aspen.
Tackle on the play by number six. But we do have a flag on the play.
Storm Silich.
Uh-oh, there's a flag.
But we do have a penalty. We'll see which way this one goes. Usually on a punt, it is on the receiving team, and it is.
Yeah.
I didn't catch what the actual penalty was.
Rosenmerkel will turn the ball back to the 46-yard line, but we do have a penalty on the play.
Hands on the ball. 15-yard penalty.
Move the ball back.
Personal, that'd be a face mask, right? Probably.
It wasn't a face mask, but he didn't say personal foul either.
Interesting. Tell me that ball carrier again.
That was Rosenberkel.
Okay, number 18. And that was...
And
so they got from...
From the 40... Or excuse me, from the 38 to the... Bad snap! But able to fall on it is Heil. It was just off to the side and low, luckily. Had that been high, that would have been a much worse situation for Glenwood. That backs Glenwood up to the 33-yard line. Brings up second and long, to say the least. Second and 17. Heil under center. Sweep. Picks up some good motion. Dollahan with the run on that one. Does get the ball up to Glenwood's 40-yard line. And that's almost back to the original line of scrimmage. He might have actually, I think, gained one extra. And that was the original line of scrimmage after the penalty.
From the 39-yard line.
They're going to mark it at the 39 for Glenwood. Hit on that tackle several Aspen players. Good swarm tackling for Aspen. Glenwood up to the ball. Heil back under center. Behind him is Dollahan. And we have a stoppage of play. I didn't see a penalty, so it must be a timeout. Timeout Aspen. We'll take a timeout ourselves with 10 minutes, 3 seconds left in the second quarter. Keep it right here on KMTS. It was before the penalty. Welcome back to Steuble Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs as the Demons taking on the Aspen Skiers, leading right now 14-0 with 10 minutes, 3 seconds left in the second quarter. Glenwood has the ball, but it's third and long, third and 16 right now on their own 39-yard line. Glenwood talking this one through. They want to make sure they pick up a decent chunk of yardage on this one. So if they do go in back into a fourth down, that they don't have a lot of yards to pick up to get them a new set. Skier's been doing a good job with their pursuit, but Glenwood's gotten some quality blocks in, and that's the reason they've been able to run the ball so well. Heil is surveying the defense back under center. Aspen does play with three down linemen and two stand-up ends to try and keep contained, but they've had their hands full. Nieselanek trying to break that corner. Doesn't quite make it. He's actually going to take a loss on that run. They're going to back him up. Actually, they spotted him right back at the original line of scrimmage. That does bring up fourth and 12. And that
actually got back to the original line of scrimmage, fourth and 10 to the Demons from the 39-yard line.
Glenwood will actually punt this time. Back to punt for Glenwood is Joaquin Sandoval. Sandoval, I believe, if I remember, it was punting his first-year freshman. We'll see how Sandoval does here.
For the Skiers.
Back to receive for the Skiers. Sandoval takes the punt. Nice high punt. A lot of hang time. Allows Glenwood to get in place. But a short punt. That is going to be downed at the 35-yard line. Where the Skiers will take over. That's probably the best position that they have had this entire game. As we've got 9 minutes, 44 minutes left in the second quarter. Glenwood able to get themselves out of some sticky situations after a bunch of penalties. And a couple good tackles for losses on Aspen's part. Aspen trying to throw the ball all game. We'll see if that continues. It looks like it probably will as McTemney is back in the shotgun. He's got one back to his left and then two receivers to his left with two more to the right. They give it to the back and a run straight up the middle on the tackle for, and it's a loose ball.
They got it back.
Glenwood on it, then Aspen on it. Haven't seen an official.
I believe
they called him down before he lost the ball.
Okay.
Yep. They called him down at the 45-yard line, which will give Aspen a first down. He cut straight through.
Kiernan Smith was right on top of it, and I believe he recovered it anyway. So
Back to the original line of scrimmage, I think. Or did they make a first down?
They did make a first down. Yep. First and 10, Aspen. Back in the shotgun once again for McTemney. He does fake the run, but Glenwood right back there. Great tackle by Zachary Carcel Horrell. As he, I don't even think he was touched coming through that line. It was unreal how fast he got through there. McTemney took that, dropped back, and by the time he turned around, Zachary was right there. Great play by Zach.
39-yard line.
Let that kid keep swimming through that line.
Right, exactly.
Back in the shotgun for McTemney. He takes that. Still has it back to his left. Two receivers to his right, two to his left. He does throw this time. It is complete. On the tackle for Glenwood is Raymond Rosenmarkle. And on the reception for Aspen is...
By Rosenmarkle, first and 10,
I believe Colson Kennedy. It does give Aspen a first down. First and 10 on the Demon 38-yard line. Shotgun once again for Aspen. They give it to the back. And Glenn was going to get him in the backfield for a loss of three on that run for Aspen.
Line of scrimmage, an initial hit by number 40, Sawyer McKinney.
Was.
Loss of two. Back
Carson Klettenberg. Loss of two. Carson Kennedy on the tackle for Glenwood. That brings up second and 14 for Aspen. McTemney back taking the signal from the sideline. He's got two receivers to his left, one to his right, and a back in motion out to his left. Pass for McTemney. It's almost a screen.
Well, and he was pressured, too.
Yeah. Great pressure that time for Glenwood by Ian Cecil Horrell. Am I pronouncing that right for 53?
Cecil Horrell? Horrell. Apologize for that.
I would assume that would be Zachary's family member. Shotgun snap once again for McTemney. As Aspen looks at third and 14, they do drop back to pass, and it is incomplete. That was intended
for number 21, Aiken.
For Aiken, and he and a Glenwood player, and I didn't catch the number, did meet when they were trying to catch that, and he took a shot to the gut. Hopefully the wind is just knocked out of him. But he is down on the ground holding his midsection.
Again, if you're just tuning in, no, it's not Ron and Jack. Jack, of course, still battling repercussions from COVID-19, recovering at home. Ron finally got to take the spring break trip he tried to take last year.
We never actually got to tell everybody where Ron was. Good news is, Aspen player walking off under his own power with no problems, and that was Aiken. Noah Aiken.
This is better. Okay. You want to stand up because you feel like you want to be active, but I can see much better when I'm sitting down and I'm closer to...
Aspen looking at fourth and 14. In the shotgun once again. McTemney. He does take it. He is trying to pass. It is going to be close. It is caught, and they are going to say it was caught inbounds at the 19-yard line. I believe. Tell who.
Nope, I cannot see who caught that one.
That does give Aspen a fresh set of downs at the Glenwood 18-yard line.
You can definitely see why they always have a crew of people not on the air.
Exactly, that are just spotters. Good pressure by Glenwood. He had two demons in his face. Pressure there brought by number 53, Ian Cecil Horrell, once again. And I believe Rosenmarkle had some pressure on that one as well.
He has been pressured all night.
Yeah, Aspen's offensive line, they've been struggling. Glenwood able to get through there, give him some pressure. And at times, they've had trouble giving that block even right up the middle. Second and 10 for Aspen. Ball on Glenwood's 18-yard line. Back in the shotgun once again for McTemney. checks with the sideline, making sure they don't want to change anything. They are throwing some signals that direction. He's got his back behind him, two receivers to his right, two to his left. Shotgun snap, pass is just behind his intended receiver.
Pass ball's incomplete. Bring up a third and 10 for the Steers from the 19.
And intended receiver on that one was Jesus Morales.
A pass intended for a
if they can get McTominay on target a little more, Glenwood's going to have their hands full. Brings up third down for Aspen.
I think one of the reasons why he's having so much trouble is because Glenwood's been pressuring him so much.
Agreed. One receiver to his left, one back behind him. They've got a wing back to his left as well with a receiver to his right. The old check with the sideline. Takes a shotgun snap. Good pressure by Glenwood once again, breaking through the middle of that line and ultimately losing the ball as McTominay. Great pressure. Zachary Cecil Horrell brought him down, made him fumble the ball. I haven't seen if they've gone ahead and given the possession to Glenwood yet.
Well, because his helmet came off, the quarterback's helmet came off, and I'm afraid that they may be talking about, you know, did it fall off, or is there a forthcoming penalty?
They are going to give the ball to Glenwood. Okay. So, good job by Zach Cecil Horrell. And ball was recovered. I actually had him, and then we had that question about, you know, I'm sorry, I can't remember who recovered that fumble, but great pursuit from the backside, cut through that offensive line for Aspen. Glenwood doing a good job chasing McTominay down.
That's what we need is a spotter.
Exactly. Yeah, you can see why the pros thank their spotters so much.
Right? And there's statisticians.
Heil under center. Takes, fakes the pitch, drops back to pass. Pass intended and is just beyond the reach of Garrett Dolahan. He had double coverage on that one. Good coverage by Aspen. Double coverage there by... Yes, where's our spotter? Noah Aiken and... Come on, turn a little for me. Turn a little for me. My kingdom for dark numbers.
Well, and these bulbs in the press box may be missing here in a couple minutes. Listen to me. I'm already sounding like Jack.
Heil under center, pitches it to Dolahan. Dolahan does get the first down, takes the ball to the 40-yard line. Tackle on that play for Aspen.
Good enough for a first down.
By number four, Brady Heisfeld. good run. good run that time by Garrett Dolahan, cutting through that line and able to pick up some blocks as he went through there. Evan Heil back under center. Still got the same Glenwood formation that they've been running this with. Excuse me, the pitch goes to Nice Atlantic. Nice Atlantic doing a great job. They are going to be real close to another first down. That gets them to the 50-yard line.
Number 21 of the Steers on the tackle.
And I think they're going to go, yep. First down, Glenwood. 6 minutes of counting left in the second quarter. Glenwood moving the ball real well. We'll see if they can keep a nice clean game as they try to make their way down the field. Aspen, once again, doing a pretty good job with pursuit. They just can't quite make that finishing tackler. Glenwood breaking a lot of tackles as he is making those runs. Heil under center. Sends Nice Atlantic in motion. Fakes the pitch. Does go to pass. Pass complete. Does pick up about 6 yards for Dolahan. Good job. He's knocked out of bounds by Aspen here on this Glenwood sideline. Good fake. Adds a little something else for Aspen to think about as they try to stop this Glenwood offense. I believe he was knocked out of bounds that time by... Uh-huh. Yes. Colson Kennedy. Heil back under center. He's got Nice Atlantic to one side. They fake the pitch to him, but then hand it under to Dolahan. Dolahan doing a great job. He's got the first down and more all the way down to the 30, make that the 29-yard line. Great running by Dolahan, and lead the charge for Aspen on that tackle to finally bring him down was one of the linebackers, I believe, was Judd Gerpen again.
It's a 22-yard play.
Allen in on that tackle, went out before Donovan.
Actually, by the spot, let's call it a 21-yard play.
And they went ahead and gave
first and 10 on the 29-yard line.
Connor Allen credit for that tackle. Evan back under center. Does hand it up, although we do have a flag on the play, which probably indicates holding on Glenwood. But if it holds, that is a 10-yard gain by... Can't see who they handed the ball off to. I believe it might... Nope, it was Brody Porter.
Okay.
Able to pick up what, for now, is a first down. But a legal shift by Glenwood will go ahead and back him up. Once again, just minor penalties. Really is shooting Glenwood in the foot. The majority of the Aspen defense was actually in on that tackle. It took him a while to get him down. Porter doing a great job keeping his legs turned and was able to pick up a couple extra yards after the initial contact. So with the penalty, that means it's first and 15 for Glenwood. They've got the ball with a handoff up the middle, but Aspen reads it really well. Whole lot of skiers in on that tackle. They did hand the ball to, I believe it may have been Porter again.
Skiers in on that tackle.
Yes, it was. Whole lot of skiers in on that one. He does get about a 2-yard gain on that one.
Maybe 3 yards.
Takes the ball from the original line of scrimmage after the penalty from the 34-yard line, now down to the 32. 4:25 left in the second quarter. Second and 13 for Glenwood. Heil back under center. Porter behind him. Knees Lanik in motion. Fake to Porter. They do pass it. That was intended for Wheatley Knees Lanik. And it was just over his head. And luckily that fell incomplete because they did, Aspen did have a defensive back in the area. And that was, I think, it may have been McTominay. Yes, it was. Still brings up third and 13. Heil under center. Porter behind him. They pitch it out to Dolahan. Dolahan running hard. Still not quite able to pick the first down, but he gets a large chunk of yardage. They're going to mark that one at the...
Tackled by Jesus Morales.
Where are they going to mark that one? There
23.
Going to bring up a fourth
down. Yep, 23-yard
line. Four for the Demons.
Fourth and four for Glenwood. So they move some players on and off the field. Aspen doesn't do a lot of substituting on defense. Been staying with their same base defense. Four down linemen, two standing ends. Three linebackers. Send this Knees Lanik in motion. They give it to Dolahan up the middle. Dolahan has the first down and some more. They're going to go ahead and mark him at the 12-yard line. Great pickup by Dolahan. In on that tackle for Aspen is... It's like the guessing game. I get to that point and, well, who was that?
Well, inside the 15-yard line to the 12-yard line, first and 10.
I believe on that one was... Can't see his number from here. First and 10, Glenwood, 3 minutes, 10 seconds remaining in the second quarter. Leading Aspen 14-0. Heil under center, sends Knees Lanik in motion. Pass, in motion, bootleg right. Broken up by Aspen. That was broken up by...
Last second by the Aspen skier. Ball intended for Knees Lanik.
Noah Aiken. Good job by Aiken, or else that would have been a touchdown. They actually had, I believe it was Wheatley Knees Lanik open in the end zone. Yes, it was Wheatley. If Aiken hadn't broken up that ball, we'd be looking at a 20-0 game right now. Second and 10. Ball on the Aspen 12. Evan Heil back under center. They go ahead and pitch it to Knees Lanik. Knees Lanik up the middle. He's going to get in for his second touchdown of the day, if I'm not mistaken. Blake Knees Lanik running hard, diving for that touchdown. And Aspen just has no answer for that. I wouldn't call it a full sweep. It's kind of a half sweep, inside run. And Knees Lanik runs it so well. And that Glenwood offensive line doing some great blocking for the running backs. 2:50, 20-0 as Glenwood sets up for the PAT. Garrett Dollahan to hold. And Tyler Thomas to kick. He's 2 for 2 so far. Kick is up. And it is good. There we go, 21-0. Glenwood leads Aspen, 2:50 left in the second. This is KMTS. With 2 minutes 50 seconds left in the first half, Glenwood leads Aspen 21-0 here at Stubler Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs. And unlike what the very well-spoken man said at the beginning, this is not Ron Milhorn and Jack DeBoer. This is Pat Dupre and Gabe Chenoweth doing our best to fill in and bring you some high school football in March.
I do great when I can record it 400 times.
You're not supposed to tell anybody that.
Right.
Tom is back to kick off. Back to receive for Aspen is going to be
on the 15-yard line.
Is taken at the 15-yard line. And that is going to actually pick up a decent amount of yards. They're going to mark him out at the 32-yard line. On that return, I believe, was Morales. Make sure of that. Yes, it was. Jesus Morales. Good running, good blocking by Aspen. They've actually got, I think this is their best field position, starting field position of the game. Yep, they mark him at the 32-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for Aspen with 2:45 left in the second quarter. Glenwood leading 21-0. Great way to start off. Very strange football season. 6 games for the teams this year. See how everything shakes out.
And no 0 week, I don't
know. No 0 week. Nope. Everything counts. Don't have enough time. McTemney back in the shotgun pass. Great pressure by Glenwood. In on that pressure was Nolan McPherson. Amazing pressure through there. And if Nolan wasn't going to get him, he had some help back there as well.
Oh, it's 99, which there is not a 99
there,
on
right,
the.
Right, there is no 99.
Hang on just a second. Maybe let me look at the other one. Nope. I see an 89. Maybe I was mistaken. We'll
check
it out.
Doesn't go that high. 79. How about 79? Nope, that was Nolan. That's right.
Yep.
McTemney back in the shotgun for Aspen. 3 receivers to his left. He does drop back to pass a little bit, but he passes to his right. That pass intended for number 11, Charlie Williams. That's kind of been the story for Aspen tonight. Just a shade off. Just a little. The timing isn't there quite yet. And being the first week off of a weird off season, and I'm sure they've only had a little bit of time to practice, it's going to take a while to get that timing down for this Aspen offense, because it is definitely a timing passing type offense. McTemney back in the shotgun. He's got 3 receivers to his left. Back there with him. 1 to his right. Glenwood with their 3 down linemen getting some really good pressure. McTemney getting a good pass, and once again just beyond the reach of his receiver.
If they connect,
oh yeah,
that's a touchdown.
There was nobody to stop, and Charlie Williams just not quite fast enough. Was covered pretty well for Glenwood. Had a safety dropping back, but running with him the entire time was, if I can get him to turn and show me his jersey just a little more. I believe.
Do we need to call for an official timeout?
Exactly.
Media timeout.
Was Rosen Merkel.
We don't get those in high school.
I wish we did.
Just like we don't get spotters. And
fourth and 10. Rosen Merkel back to receive the punt from Aspen. They do that weird, horrible punt for Aspen.
Did it even go 10 yards? I think it barely.
For a punt, it actually doesn't matter. It's whatever you get, you get. But they're going to mark that one at the 33-yard line. Glenwood with great field position to try and put an exclamation mark on this first half of 2 minutes, 24 seconds left as they lead 21-0 over Aspen in this first game of the season, of a 6-game season for the teams. We'll kind of cover schedules and things like that once we get to halftime and at the end of the game. But Glenwood looking like they're really clicking. They got to clean up some penalties, clean up a little blocking here and there every once in a while. But that's not been consistent. So they just got to build on what they've got, clean up the penalties, and they'll be tough to reckon with this season. Heil under center. He's got Porter behind him. Nies Lennick to one side. And Nies Lennick does go in motion. They fake the pitch. It is a throw and incomplete. I am trying to tell. I think it was intended for Wheatley.
Bring up a second and 10 for the Demons.
Dollahan was in the general area, but Wheatley was more kind of in line with that one. Glenwood showing that they're not just a running team. They're trying to change things up.
What's interesting, he's actually connected with receivers a few times.
Yeah, they've actually been doing a really good job, especially Wheatley has done a good job, and Garrett Dollahan, I believe, caught one off technically in the backfield, but he was way outside. Pitch out to Nice Lanick. Nice Lanick doing a great job.
Looking for some running room on his feet.
Great job there by Blake. He does pick up the first down. Tackle on that play for Aspen by one of their defensive linemen. He was able to run back and catch him. I apologize. I can't see his number.
So they're down to the 19.
Yes, they are going to spot that at the 19-yard line.
So a 14-yard pickup.
Heil back under center once again. It's been working for him. They did go out of shotgun for a little bit, but he's not been under center for the majority of this quarter. Does fake the pitch to Blake once again. Does an off-balance pass out to Wheatley, Nice Lanick. And it's way out in front of Wheatley. Luckily, he had no chance to be caught by anybody, including Aspen. Good pressure there by Aspen. They've got one of their big guys on their defensive line. Was doing a real good job getting some pressure, and I don't see his number. 77 had the pressure on that one. But, yeah, I do not see a 77. I got a 75.
Go Fish.
Sounds like the beginning rosters to me. Heil back right. Under center. He's got Porter behind him. They do go ahead and pitch it out to Dollahan. Dollahan makes the corner, cuts it back, and he is going to get out to the one. They do mark it inside the one-yard line. Great run by Dollahan, and he's he was kind of acting like he was signaling for some help, but goes right back to the huddle. Able to bring him down on that play for Aspen, I believe. Was Jesus Morales.
Tackled by Clintonburg on that play.
They're going to give it to Clintonburg. Evan Heil back under center. Sends Blake Nice Lanick in motion, but they give it to the up back. They give it to Porter. And Porter
with the carry, 1 yard.
Punches it in. Touchdown, Glenwood. Brings the score to 27-0 with 1 minute, 4 seconds left in the second quarter. Glenwood rolling. They cut out those penalties, and this be maybe even another add another score on there the way they've been running this ball. Aspen definitely showing they're a little vulnerable up the middle. They've got some good support in the backfield, but not quite. Thomas on for the extra point. Garrett Dollahan to hold. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick is up. Oh, no good. He's just off to the left. So with a minute four left, it's 27-0 Glenwood. As we go to a minute four left in the quarter, keep it right here on KMTS. Is our score as Glenwood is leading the Aspen Skiers with a minute four left in the first half. Thomas getting ready to kick off.
Tyler Thomas again set to kick
back
off.
To receive for Aspen is Morales, and I believe Brady Heisfeld. Kick is up. Kick is nice and deep.
Morales fields
it at the 5 yard line. And he's going to pick up about a gain of
11.
Yeah, give him 11 on that one. I think they're going to mark him at the 15, though.
Stephen Morris.
Nope, they're going to give him. They're going
to
give him 11.
Out to the 16-yard line, first and.
Yep. Okay. First and 10 for Aspen. 58 seconds left in the second quarter. Glenwood leads 27-0.
Tell me who that carrier, what ball carrier was again?
That was Morales, number four.
Okay.
Or excuse me, five. Jesus Morales. McTemney back in the shotgun once again. He's got two receivers to his left, two to the right, and a tight end. Tried to do a quarterback run, designed run, but they're going to say false start for Aspen, and that'll back him up 10 yards. Tough way to start for Aspen.
Ouch.
They look so close, and then You know, the passes are just a little off, and then they've got something like that, or Glenwood gets some really good pressure, what they've been getting all night.
The Steers will move the ball back 5 yards.
That is only a 5-yard penalty.
12-yard line, second and
so that does back the ball up to the 12-yard line. First and 15, 57 seconds left in the first half. McTominay back. He's got a back with him this time. Maybe give him a little more protection, but they go ahead and hand it off to the back. And with that run, that'll pick him up about 3 yards. I believe, Jesus Morales again.
Looks like that was Storm Silich with the carry. No gain on the play.
They do count it as no gain. They say he did not actually get past. I thought he picked up a few yards, but he did not. And that's a timeout. So we'll take a timeout, too. We'll step away with 50 seconds left in the second quarter. This is KMTS. With 50 seconds left in the second quarter, Glenwood leads Aspen 27-0 as Aspen is on their own 12-yard line, second and 15. McTominay back in the shotgun. He's got two receivers to his right, three to the left. He does take a designed quarterback run. Glenwood doing a good job. It looks like McTominay will pick up a few yards, but not enough for the first down. That'll bring up third down and I believe one.
McTominay on the carry. Pick up about 5 yards on the play. Tackled by Sawyer McKinney.
Let's see where they're going to spot the ball here. That gets back the original line of scrimmage. So that was a pickup of 5 yards.
Third and 10 for the Skiers. Ball on the 17-yard line.
And we've got another timeout. Glenwood. So we'll take another timeout. It's like the last few minutes of a basketball game. It takes forever to get through. 41 seconds left in the second quarter. This is KMTS. 41 seconds left in the second quarter as Glenwood leads Aspen 27-0. It is Aspen's ball. They're sitting at their own 17-yard line, and it's 3rd and 11. Aspen taking their time coming out of this timeout. Glenwood out there ready.
Remember, they took their time earlier as well.
Except they were on defense that time, and Glenwood had the opportunity. If they didn't get out there when they did, they could have snapped the ball. The refs were being a little generous.
Well, it is the first game of the season.
All right, I'll get it.
And we'll explain what we were laughing about in a minute, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's heard that saying.
That goes, what was he talking about? McTominay back in the shotgun. He's got a back with him. Two receivers to his left and one to his right with a tight end. And the back handoff, doing a good job of running.
Worth of demons in on that tackle.
Decent amount of Glenwood players in on that one, running that ball.
That's Storm Silich.
For Aspen was Silich. He's actually been getting some good yardage out of the running back position. But still not enough of the first down for Aspen. It'll bring up 4th and 6. And we'll see if Aspen even elects to go and snap the ball. I don't think that looks like we're going to go to halftime. So at the end of the first half, it's Glenwood 27, Aspen nothing. We'll be right back and kind of fill you in on why you're not hearing the dulcet tones of Ron Millerhorn and Jack Jabor right here on KMTS.
Steve Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs as the Glenwood Demons leading the Aspen Steers 27-0 under a pretty good offensive attack by Glenwood. They've been running the ball well, even though a couple passes have connected fairly well. They kind of shooting themselves before they got two penalties in there that stalled a couple drives and set them back, and then they were able to recover. Aspen, on the other hand, kind of suffering from just the timing not being there quite right. A lot of passing offense going on for Aspen, and things are just behind, they're just in front, and just not quite there. Maybe even just a little over the intended receivers. They're doing pretty good. If Aspen's able to get things dialed in here in the second half, we'll have this game, but for right now, it's all Glenwood 27-0 as we are in the middle of halftime. This is Patty Bray along with Gabe Chenoweth. We're filling in for Ron and Jack. There is a reason why the boss does not do sports. I don't know, ever. I have this opinion that the captain should know how to do every job on the ship, right? And I've done it at least once, right? And I have done it a couple times, right? Well, we don't need to go through the history. Of course, there was that fantastic alumni. I'm so disappointed that they did not continue that tradition of the alumni game. I thought that was awesome. I'll be honest with you. I actually considered, even though I never played football, if you would have played in that game, I would have played. Well, you didn't tell me that at the time. I would have had a whole different reason I didn't tell you that at the time. Oh, that would have been fun. So I am no Jack DeBoer, but I'm pretty confident of the running stats. I've got, so here's pretty much what we've got. Right, exactly, and certainly few completions for both teams. Here's a very interesting stat, and I apologize, I have not been keeping track of time, which would be, what do you think, about 65% Glenwood to 30%?
Maybe a little ahead.
It was definitely favored Glenwood. Yeah. Well, listen to this. Carries, 54 carries by Glenwood, 20 carries by Aspen. They've definitely been trying to throw a lot more. That's not surprising. And the runs Aspen has had haven't been bad. I was just trying to remember the running back. It's Silich. He's been having some luck. From, and pretty much everything Aspen does, he's out of the shotgun.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's an extra 6-7 yards you've got to make up.
Right. Exactly.
Before you even get the line of scrimmage. So far for Glenwood, Blake Nieslanik, 15 carries for 86 yards, a little over 5.5 yards per carry. Garrett Dalhan, 12 carries for 91 yards, about 7.5 yards per carry. And then, of course, we had Brody Porter. I only have him one carry for 1 yard. I swear he had 2 touches on more than that.
I think he did. And I know he had a couple of fourth down conversions, too.
Right. So I apologize for that. I must have missed. I was probably trying to grab the field glasses and look for numbers or something like that when that was happening. And I apologize. I did not. Defensive stats, I do not have. So
there's been some good swarm tackling by Aspen. And a few players in on most of the tackles, but the tackling, the penetration that Glenwood has got on the defensive side of the ball through the Aspen offensive line has been impressive. In fact, there was that one play, and I believe it was, of course, I moved everything, so you're talking about it. But Cecil Hoyle made an amazing play. And then he was touched going through the middle of that offensive line to sack and McKinley. And just that pressure has been there all night for Glenwood.
Well, and Kyle McKinley, you mentioned him, and he has not completed a pass tonight, and yet, did I get it wrong? I swear he didn't complete a pass.
I know it hasn't been, I thought it was at least one.
Okay, I could be wrong. If he connects on a lot of those, the receiver is downfield far enough that it could be the difference in this game. And, you know, he has not had time to throw the ball because he has been pressured every single time. You mentioned the sack. Obviously, that's going to play in the back of his mind. You know, I'm sure the coaches are telling players to, you know, shake it off, don't worry about it. But you mentioned that
I did find it interesting. Aspen did not go into the locker room at half. They're actually out here in the south end zone. I should be on the south end zone. So what I was there was where they set up the high jump pit for track and field.
I wonder, is that a choice by the coaches? Is it COVID protocol? I think all the players, they're all gathered around and they're all kneeling down.
They did come in from the locker room, from the building.
Oh, yeah.
Again, so
yeah.
Maybe they just decided in order to keep, because I'm sure even though they're playing on the same field, they still want to keep some separation between the teams in and out. But you never know.
Right.
They usually it's coach's choice. But right now, I don't know if there's a reason for that.
And a chilly 52 degrees.
It is definitely cool. We were talking earlier at the beginning. I walked out of the house on my way over here, and the thermometer said 65. I couldn't believe it was March 19th.
The thermometer at our house said 70 degrees this afternoon.
That's,
now, keep in mind, it could have been in the sun.
Right.
But still, I went outside, and it was absolutely, like I said, it felt like an August, September afternoon. So the story. During the timeout in the fourth quarter.
Right, yes.
So at the press box in Glenwood, if you haven't ever been to Steubel Memorial Field, there's an upper level. So you climb the ladder, and the coaches and that kind of thing.
Film crews.
Right, yeah, they're filming up there. So they go up on the roof of the press box. So during that last timeout, someone was running, you know, back and forth.
Well, and I think the crowd, too, because a lot of that reverberates through the stands. Of course, it's all aluminum structure.
That's true.
But yeah, I think it was both. Anyway, I turned the pad as we're listening to this and feeling it, because the whole press box is moving. It kind of felt like we're on a train, actually.
And I said, as my grandpa would say, it sounds like a herd of turtles in a hailstorm.
Yeah. And you said, I can't believe you never heard that.
I've never heard that particular phrase. No.
I did think that was entertaining.
Oh, geez. Well, you know. So, looking at, as you mentioned, 6 games for each team this season, no 0 week. Glenwood, ranked number 25. To start the season, they travel all the way to, might as well be, Utah next week.
Yeah, Utah, New Mexico.
New Mexico, I'm sorry, yeah. Montezuma Cortez is that game, and they play Coleridge on April 2nd at Basalt, Rifle on April 16th, and then Salida, they finish on the 23rd. Aspen plays Rifle next week. Then they actually host Montezuma Cortez, Steamboat, Basalt, and finally Aspen finishes up the year at Coleridge.
You know, that's something we were noticing that I do find interesting. Even though there's very few of the same teams, they're not all playing each other. So like 3A, Aspen plays Steamboat, Glenwood does, but Glenwood plays Salida, Aspen does not. I did find that interesting that they're not all trying to play each other or right. Some derivation there, but it was back in the old days.
Right,
and the way things may have broke out with the scheduling and of course COVID, and that is really the reason behind why we're here in March is,
right,
you know, they may not have been able to get everybody tied together. And,
right.
So it'll be interesting to see how the playoffs work out.
This is true too, yeah. If, especially with all those private schools in Denver, you know, if they're out of the picture, it would
right.
Be
well, and especially with these teams only playing each other, you know, where how will championships be decided? I do believe there are some East Slope teams, maybe some playing teams that are playing the spring schedule, but not a lot. A lot of the bigger schools and the private schools did end up playing in the fall, so
right.
It'll be interesting to see how things shake out.
The other interesting thing this year is they have scheduled a handful of Saturday games.
That's right.
Almost all the teams play at least one Saturday game. I noticed that. Where's another Basalt game? Okay, no, there is a night game in Basalt. There are a couple, so Basalt plays tomorrow. They host, and then they also host Rifle. Do they host, do they play one on Saturday too?
I think so.
I just had it right in front of me. No, that's a Friday night game. Yeah, no, that's senior night.
April 10th.
April 10th is a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
But it's, okay, so that must be a mistake, the game time.
So you don't think there's Basalt otherwise?
That's what I was going to ask. And
I don't think
yet, or maybe they're under construction or something like that. But my point being, no, because Rifle plays Basalt on, nope, that's a Saturday too, so I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if they don't have lights.
Aspen plays Basalt on the 16th. And that's a Friday, and that is 6 o'clock.
Okay.
But they're at Aspen, so that means
right,
right.
Yeah, so all, it seems like all the games at Basalt are Saturdays, but that is helpful to us because it means we can do a Friday and a Saturday game those weeks.
But like we were saying, there are other sports going on right now, and that is also a scheduling conflict
Basalt. Including volleyball, which I wanted to talk about in. You know, you would think the 12 minutes is just an eternity, but you'd have all this time to fill, and yet,
all of a sudden you look up and we're at the end of halftime.
That's perfect timing.
You planned it like that.
I wish I could say that. Like I said before, you know, I complain about coming out, and you can't shut me out.
That's all right. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. So, yeah, end of halftime. Well, I take it back. We do have time for warm-up. So, did you have any volleyball stuff going on?
I did print volleyball schedules.
We were trying to get some scores for other teams playing tonight, including Rifle and Coleridge playing each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
But our usual resources are not providing us what we need, so we'll hope that we get some updates. If you're listening and you know somebody that's at that game, send them a text, send them a message, and see if you can score for us. Let us know how those teams are doing, because that should be a good game as well. Coleridge is supposed to be pretty good this year, and of course, Rifle is always good.
What is?
That doesn't hurt to say.
What a great
great rivalry, though, that has become
really rivalry over the last few years.
So actually, going with volleyball, they are hosting Basalt tonight. Varsity started at 6:30, so they're probably done with their matches by now. Who else? Are you sure they were hosting Basalt? I swear I saw an RE2 bus. Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually Coleridge at Glenwood. That was on the 16th. You know, like I said, yeah, Coleridge. Glenwood's hosting Coleridge.
You look for good help, and sometimes you just,
You roll with what you got. This is what you get when you ask the boss to,
Well, I mentioned during, I think it was the last break before we went to halftime. I don't think I've talked this much in 3 weeks. So if you expect me to be here by myself talking to you this whole thing, good luck.
Yeah.
So we got a minute left here in the last, got a minute left here before we get to halftime. Glenwood's leading 27-0. Doing a really good job. Aspen will receive the second half kickoff. They were starting to move the ball there towards the end of the first half. But just flat ran out of time before they were able to actually do something with it. Aspen stayed out, everybody's doing warm-ups. Glenwood came out and did their quick warm-ups. It looks like everybody's just about ready to get back to some high school football in March. Just, it is weird to say, but like we said, it feels like a nice fall night. It's one of those strangely odd situations. A chilly fall night. It is starting to cool off. I was just thinking about grabbing my sweatshirt. I'm going to say, I'm going to grab it. And I don't mean, don't look or... I don't even know, to spit a few things here from time to time, as the kids say. Spit a few things from time, I've never heard that term. See? Yeah, it's not through the kids, though. It must be. That's the end of halftime. Glenwood's leading 27-0. The Aspen will receive the opening kickoff in the second half. I figure by about the end of the game tonight. Well, as I look it up, as I was going to say, as I always say, I'm going to want to go back and do it all over again. Isn't that usually what I say at the end of the show? Then we now know what we're doing, then let's go ahead and do it. Right. Tyler Thomas is going to kick off for Glenwood Springs. Back to receive for Aspen. Assuming it's the usual suspects is Brady Heisfeld and Jesus Morales. And I believe that is correct. So here we go. Second half, Aspen versus Glenwood. It's good to be college football, though, I will say, even if it is a strange time of year. And, even though I didn't play, there's nothing like actually seeing the game. Absolutely. Good kick by Thomas, it's picked up at the 5-yard line. And a decent run back by Aspen. And with that run was number 2. Excuse me, Carson Kleinberg was back there to receive that. It'll pick up a gain of 20 yards. Nice run. Ready to run spot at about 21-yard line. McKemmie is quarterback once again, getting a direction from the sideline. He's got 3 receivers to his left, back in the shotgun with him, and 1 to his right. Takes a snap, low snap, and in fact, it is muffed and fumbled, but it looks like Aspen does recover. And it was recovered by his running back. And I believe his running back in that case may have been Sillich. Yep, Sillich in the backfield with McKemmie. Aspen's got 2 receivers on each side. Once again, in the shotgun, Glenwood spray out, keeping everybody covered. 3 down linemen. They send Aspen sends somebody in motion. The motion man does catch the ball. Looks like he's going to get to... Actually, he might take a loss on that play. And I believe that was no agent.
No gain on the play.
I'm going to call it right there at the line of scrimmage. Ball back at about the 20-and-a-half yard line. Aspen once again in the shotgun. McKemmie calling for the ball. Takes a snap, back to pass. Throw the pass, it is complete. Lifts the tackle for Glenwood. Number 32, Stephen Morris. The reception on that was no Aiken. And Aspen finally connected on the pass again. And they get a first down. Ball sitting at their own 32 yard line. McKemmie back, takes a snap, fakes it, runs outside, does throw it on the tackle. Mr. Raymond Rosenmerkel. And that pass was complete to Noah Aiken once again. Aiken getting up a little slow, but he's able to get up there, so he's good. No problems. Aspen may have figured out what was going on, getting the timing back down for him. And checking with the sideline, getting the, as opposed to Glenwood, who usually sends somebody, usually sends Evan Hoyle out to get the play, and then back to hell. Aspen does hand signals back and forth from the sideline. Everybody stays in the line of scrimmage, and they go and call in. Of course, everybody's staring over there, so hopefully they're all right there. Aspen set up once again in the shotgun, 2 receivers on each side. Sillich back in the backfield with McKemmie. McKemmie in the shotgun. Low snap, once again. Sillich has it on the pitch. What was the ball before he goes down? I believe Glenwood had it. That was recovered by 65. Sebastian Garcia. Alright. I'm gonna say he was down. That was real close call. It looked like Sillich may have coughed that one before his knee was down, but of course, we don't have the advantage of the instant replay, so we'll trust him for a while. Alright. McKemmie back in the shotgun. Sillich in the backfield with 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. They do the old, see if we can get to the jump, and then we'll check the sidelines and see what's going on. I'm gonna decide if I like that or not. As a fan, it kind of breaks up the momentum, but it is what it is. McKemmie back to pass, and almost picked up by Aspen, but great, great hit out there by Teddy Hutnauer. Pass was intended for Jesus Morales, but Hutnauer just hit right there as the ball came to him. Good clean hit, and not incomplete. Brings up 4th and 5 for Aspen at their own 36-yard line. And they are going to punt. One through there for a second. Rosenberg back to receive. Aspen does the old snap to the up back, and then they pitch it back to the punter. And it's a fake. They do run the fake. Aspen stuck. Glenwood stuck right up the hallway. Watch him, and actually Aspen took a loss on them. They're going to go ahead and mark them all down at the 35-yard line. Good job by Glenwood's defense picking that up. Watching Aspen. They must have seen that on film because, that was... There wasn't even anything. Rosenberg started moving up the moment he saw that. Which is usually an indication that Glenwood did a really good job watching that film. Glenwood out the shotgun. Evan Hoyle got 2 backs either side of him. He's got 2 wide receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Takes the snap. They go ahead and hand it off to Blake Eastline. Eastline coming out around the corner. Coming out towards us. Almost makes the corner. He does pick up about 5 yards. Knocked out of bounds by 77, which we don't have on the roster. Wish we could give you credit. One time I can see the number. Right. So, Glenwood picking up the turnover on downs. 8:59 left in the third quarter. 77 is Angus Harper. Thank you. A junior. High Kyle back in the shotgun once again. Two backs each side. He does try to pass. It's picked off. It is deflected. It was deflected by Garrett Dollahan, and Aspen's going to run this one back. And running it back for the touchdown. The Aspen touchdown is... But of course, his teammates are all over him, right? So let's see. The pick is Nathaniel Thomas. Nate Thomas able to take that one to the house. It was deflected by Dollahan. He almost had it, and he just tipped it right into Thomas's hands. And that's a beautiful reception and run back for Aspen as they get the touchdown. Glenn would try to keep up with him. He just had so much speed. He got it in perfect timing and didn't even lose a step. Good concentration there by Thomas. So we have seen Aspen punt, but we haven't even had a chance for PAT. So we'll see if they go for two or if they're going to try the point after. You said that was Nate Thomas who made the INT? Yeah. The pick six, actually. Correct? Yep, I'm making it. They are going to go for two. Lieutenant back in the shotgun. Once again, two receivers to the left, two to the right. He's got a back with him with Selich. And they knock it out. Glenwood makes him fumble the ball and they recover. No good on PAT. So some points finally for Aspen, but still a big for Glenwood. 27-6. Glenwood 8:46 left in the third quarter. This is TNTS. Welcome back to Steuben Memorial Field as the Aspen Steers get a touchdown off of an interception. From Evan Hoyle. Hi, excuse me. It was really deflection that was off the hands of Garrett Dollahan. And a nice pick six run in there by Nate Thomas. Got it perfect timing, was able to run it in. But no good on a two-point attempt after the touchdown. So that's where we stand. 27-6, Glenwood, 8:46 left in the third quarter. So Aspen will kick off to Glenwood. And you know, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe we see some trickery with their initial kickoff. They tried to do a kind of a lazy onside kick and it backfired on Glenwood 5 yards. Back receive for Glenwood, assuming it goes that far. Is a Jeremy Bradshaw, and it is another hopper. It is picked up by Glenwood ball. I do go ahead and grab it. I believe that's number 30. Big blanket chip. Good concentration by Blanket Chip, able to snag that. And he actually ran back a little bit and just kind of went down. Make sure they didn't lose the yardage. So Glenwood will start on their own 46-yard line. Oh, how did Ron and Jack do this anyway? Kyle under center. Pitch out to Garrett Dollahan. Dollahan bounces into the crowd and comes back out. Good pick up by Dollahan. He ends up getting out to the 35-yard line. Tackle on that play for Aspen was Carson Clattenberg. That's a good receiver. He had to come all the way from the other side of the field in order to make that play. Good running there by Dollahan. He ran into where he was supposed to be. It wasn't ready to go. Bounce back out and was able to go ahead and pick up that first down. So that brings up first and 10 to Glenwood ball on 36-yard line. Kyle back in the center. Pitches it out to Blake Nieselag. Nieselag out around the corner. He's going to get it just back. Maybe 10 yards. Might give it two. Let's see where they go and give it. They do go ahead and put the ball on the 35-yard line. 5-1. That's what I get for believing Michael Allen, right? But seriously, we really think Mike, he actually brought us the rosters. Right. Glenwood's got a great roster we can go off of, and if only all of the rest of them did that, would be so nice. Kyle back under center, he got Porter behind him, Nieselag to his left. And then a fake pitch it to Nieselag, and then he hands it off. I think Dollahan, yep, up the middle. Picked up about 4 yards on that play. Good running by Dollahan. He's been pushing a lot. Nieselag had some good long runs, but Dollahan's picking up the tough stuff. Porter's in there as well. Porter in there, picking up some fourth down conversions in the first half. So that means it's 3rd and 3 for Glenwood. Ball is on the 31-yard line. Call it the 30. Really, it's that close. Kyle back under center. They go ahead and hand it up to Porter. I believe that's Porter usually sits. Nope, it's Dollahan. Dollahan on that play. Another some hard run. Doesn't quite get to the first down. He's only able to pick up a couple yards. That'll bring a 4th and 3 for Glenwood. Looks like they are going to go for it. Well, I don't think we've seen Glenwood caught this target, have we? Ask your statistician. They don't call him the greatest color guy in the business for the cops. Evan Kyle under center on his 4th and 3. He's got Dollahan behind him. Dollahan runs straight up and picks up the first down. Good hard running. Great run by Glenwood. Once again, Aspen just has no answer. That's straight up the middle stop. They've been able to chase Glenwood down when Glenwood takes it east-west. Middle side to side. Aspen's been able to stretch them out. There have been times where Glenwood hasn't been able to take that corner. But when Glenwood just runs straight up the middle, they've been getting just nice chunks of yards. Now Glenwood's in the shotgun. Hyle is back there. He's got the Nieselag to his left. Dollahan to his right. He's got receivers out there as well. Dollahan with the play. Some good hard run right in the middle. Tackle there for Aspen by number 17. Made that one. That's a good way to put it. Bill Moffred made the initial tackle on that one, but then the rest of the Aspen team there to join. Brings up 2nd and 3. Ball on the 17-yard line. Once again, Hyle back in the shotgun. Nieselag to his left. Dollahan to his right. They do hit it off. Dollahan to run to the left side. He's starting to turn the corner. And he's going to be just shy. Looks like he's going to be out at about the 2-yard line.
Just shy of
and pushing an elbow on that one for Aspen.
Number 15, this year's Gertman. So you bring a 1st and goal for the
Demons
on the 1-yard line.
Was Judd Gertman, again, just kind of all over the place. Was that Dollahan again? That was Dollahan again. He has carried the ball 6 times in a row now. He's kind of, it depends on how the game's going. Cameron Blake Nieselag can really catch fire and really start running. And then throw a quarter in there for the short yardage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dollahan right behind Hyle. Hyle under center. Does do a quick pass into the end zone. Glenwood touchdown. And that was the reading Nieselag. Glenwood trained it up. Aspen was reading the run the whole time. And Glenwood had to go, you know what? We'll just chuck this one over the top. And touchdown, Glenwood sprint. That was Wheatley. Got a little better angle on that one than Mr. Wild. Good offensive drive by Glenwood. No, nice clean drive, too. No major penalties. Some good solid runs. Good solid blocking by Glenwood offensive line. Wheatley and Nieselag, the only player on the team, at least on our roster, that's playing both ways. I think he might be right. He's the only one in green. It has to be. And it's a fake by Glenwood. They're up the middle. And it's good. There we go. Glenwood brings it to 35-6. Did you see what happened? And I did not. It was a straight up the middle run. But it was a fake because they were lined up. It's 4 minutes, 53 seconds left in the third quarter. Glenwood leads 35-6. This is KMTS. Live from Steuben Memorial Field. It's Dave and Pat going in for Ron and Jack. Glenwood Demons just a 2-point conversion. Good. So it's now 35-6.
Another by a group of Demons at 11-16. 1st and 10.
That was a good kick by Thomas. Yeah, that's a decent. And Rowan Smith returned it for just a couple yards for the Aspen Steers. Great coverage by Glenwood. They're really good down there in a hurry. All right,
to Aspen's ball. Sorry, I was just filling in there so that no, I didn't do any work. It's screwing up. It does start to feel more like March. It's kind of like when Prince Charles puts on his jacket at the British Open or something like that. I don't know. It's the official sign. Right, exactly. It's Kennedy back in the shotgun once again. He got Sillich behind him. Low snap. It's been, and Sillich almost, I don't actually think it was a clean handoff. I don't think he might even have the ball. But Sillich does fall on it. I think they're going to say it's still Aspen's ball. We got an official word here. Actually, I think it does. It's when Prince Charles takes his jacket. Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Yep, they say still has one ball, even though a Glenwood player did pop back up with it. Good effort there for Glenwood. Was Sawyer McKinney. Oh, good pressure by Glenwood. In on McKinney was a whole bunch of demons. He and Cecil Horrell. I think he's a player. And we do have an offensive line for Aspen down. Everybody taking a knee, checking on him. He's talking. He's holding his stomach. And Storm Sillich is having a conversation with him. So down for Aspen was. He is up. Yeah, so that's always good news. Brian Vargas. Okay, so always good news. A few of those for Aspen today. You know, the first game is going to be a little tough. Ref saying, okay, you got to come out. Come out for at least one play. We'll get a right hand. So Aspen once again looking to the sideline. They come out in their shotgun formation. McKinney back there with Sillich. He's got two receivers to the right, two to the left. Glenwood with their standard three down lineman. Safety. Working pretty shallow there. Good pressure there by Glenwood. Almost picked off by Glenwood as well. And I think they're going to get Glenwood running the pass around that one. Yeah, jump low. Almost caught that ball. You know, the pressure is with Teddy Huttenhauer, and I think even Cecil Hurl.
Hurl. That's a third down for the field.
We'll see what they say as far as penalty for Glenwood. Penalty is on Glenwood. They're going to march off 15 yards. And my apologies, I didn't catch the sign. Just by the time that flag came out, that's had to be what it was. McKinney back in the shotgun. They said it's in the backfield with him. McKinney back, hauls it. Long pass. Deflected. Jeremy Bradshaw there for Glenwood to knock it away from. Feel free
anytime.
That was Charlie Williams. He's been McKinney's favorite target on the passing game. By the way, actually, McKinney back in the shotgun, Sillich to the back here with him. He's got three receivers to the right, one to the left. And it is Williams to his left. Sillich moves to the other side of McKinney. Takes snap. Just looks at Williams the whole time, and there was something off there.
That could be, yeah, they're one was calling for intentional grounding.
And Brian Delgado was right there, and he's like, come on. And my apologies, that actually was not Williams. That was out on that side. That was Noah Aiken. He was out there, and yeah, there was something, because Aiken stopped about 3 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage, and then turned and went, where are you throwing? Well, we all have our miscommunications. Was there something else out there? McKinney brings Aspen to the line of scrimmage. He's got three receivers to his right, one to his left. Sillich to the backfield with him. Takes a snap. Good snap this time. Not low or anything. Williams out there, he grabbed his hamstring, he came up a little, and just fell to the side, on the ground to the side. He was able to get off the field, but he went down as soon as he got over there. He was hurt, might have a little cramping. Mm. I was going to say, given our aggressive, looks like Aspen is going to try and punt. Yep, they do the rugby style kick. Rosenmerkel back to receive, he's going to let it bounce, he's going to let it go past him. And it's going to fall dead at the 27-yard line. That's a 30-yard kick. Yep, the Glenwood ball, we come back. With our aggressive sports schedule and with some of our cast members on the injured reserve, I was going to say, anybody out there that's listening, if you have some sports knowledge, maybe coached, definitely if you have broadcast experience, we'd love to talk to you. Fill in at least. We've got folks we call on from time to time, but Kyle back throw out of the shotgun. He's out to Garrett Nolan. Nolan able to pick up a decent amount of space. He actually looked at him first down. He gets it all the way out from the original line of scrimmage to the 38-yard line. 12-yard pickup. Yeah, still, we've been looking for some extra scores out there from every team. If you know anyone, go and send us a message on Facebook, on our webpage. I'll back throw out a shotgun, and it's a real quick throw by Dolan. Can't hang on to it. Just zipped through there. The right team, Dolan. We were kind of hoping that he was hoping he was going to be able to catch it, but I don't think he was expecting it to be that much speed on it. Remember, John Elway? When they used to say his receivers had a little X right in the center of their chest. I'll back the shotgun once again. He hands it to Blakeney Slank. Blakeney off the races. He is going to be gone. This is Blakeney Slank. Did you catch it? Just brought down at the last second. Bye. That was a touchdown saving tackle by Jesus Morales. Yeah. They're going to go ahead and mark Eastline down at the 15-yard line. Great run by Blake. See if Glenwood can follow this up by punching it into the end zone. Kyle back in the shotgun. Blake's to his left. Garrett to his right. He's got two receivers to his left and one to the right. Takes the shotgun, snaps a little high, he's able to bring it down. And tries to get it.
That's
Dallahan. Just in front of him. Couldn't quite bring it. 2 minutes, 33 seconds left in the third quarter. Glenwood's leading 35, Aspen only 6 points. They've been trying to move the ball through the air, just haven't quite had the timing now nailed down yet. Glenwood back out, in the shotgun formation once again, Evan Heil. Now Blake to one side, Porter to the right this time. They fake it to Porter, toss it out to Dolahan, but Dolahan is going to be taken down in the backfield. That's going to be a decent loss of about 3 yards. Yep, and so they already marked that as 3rd and 13. Yeah, I did miss the Aspen player tackling. Glenwood once again talking over in the huddle. Let me take a little bit extra time. I think we're trying to work that clock a little more. We are almost through the third quarter already. Eastline in motion. Must snap. Looks like Kyle was trying to go somewhere there before the ball actually got to him. But he was able to recover and follow him. That will bring up 4th and 13 for Glenwood. They actually do give him a loss on that play. Drops back another 2 yards. So that means the ball is now on the Aspen 20-yard line. Totally a ball carrier again. Was that his line? Jumping out? Was that, yeah. No, his line. Excuse me. Sorry, yeah. Let me just follow the ball. Let me just continue throwing. Miles back to throw. He was able to complete the wheat race, so I don't think it's going to be enough for a first down. Not the A-Rod mark at the 12 yards. Not quite enough. So the Aspen ball. As we in the waiting seconds here of the third quarter. Fast moving third quarter. Glenwood able to chew up a lot of that clock, not give Aspen a lot of time to try and recover. Aspen comes out in the usual shotgun formation. McKinney, back there with Silich. They spread Glenwood out, two receivers to each side. They're looking over the sideline, seeing what's what. McKinney takes a snap. Good snap, a little slow, but good snap. Pop it overhead is just past his intended receiver. And that was Hayfield, Brady Hayfield. Just once again, that's been the theme for Aspen tonight. Just a little off, things are a little too far in front of the receivers. And he's been consistent about that. So, something to build off for Aspen? Maybe. McKinney back there, Silich is with him. Two receivers each side. Do the old check with me at the line again. Stare over at the sideline. Take a snap. Once again, drops back to pass. Almost complete. Just a little too high. You tell me who that is? Number four. So that's Brady Hayfield. Yep, Brady Hayfield again. This time, that was almost like a makeup play, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try that, because it was almost exactly the same play. The pattern was a little different. It was in a different spot. Third and 10 for Aspen on their own 10-yard line. Pick up the 11. McKinney back for the, takes a snap and immediately hands it off to his motion man. But his motion man is brought back way behind the line of scrimmage. I figured I'd mark it down about the 5-yard
line. Number 25, Jeff Lowe.
Great tackle by Jeff Lowe for Glenwood. The one run the ball that time.
Fourth down and
17. Uh-huh. Now you're going to remember correctly. I think it was. You know what? The funny thing that was Silich that was doing the running that time. Does get a punt, and this they do it just normal punt this time. And back to take this one with some good return yardage for Glenwood. Picks it up at the 40 is Jeff Lowe. Good return by Jeff Lowe. Brings the ball up to the 32 yard line. That's the end of the third quarter. Glenwood leading really well, 35-6. Stay right here on teams, yes. Welcome back to Memorial Field. Beginning of the fourth quarter, Glenwood has the ball. We're going to take it at the Aspen 32 yard line. Heil pitches back. And that pitch is to somebody we haven't called yet. Oh, no, I take it back. That is to Rosenberg. Rosenberg, excuse me. Rosenberg. Good running by Rosenberg. He takes that ball up to the... Gets him a first down. And that's going to be down to the 21-yard line? Yeah. Nice job. And Mark Wild disagrees with your... Who do you say was head of the carry?
No.
I swear that was number 18. So actually, that'll be 11 yards. Oh, and they do the same thing except for the other side. And this is Alex Tyson. So it's a couple of receiver sweeps here that they've had going on. But this one didn't make quite as much. Gets about a yard gain on that one. Takes it to the 20-yard line. Second nine. There he is. Six. On the tackle for that one was their big guy in the middle for Aspen. I can't catch his number, but he's been in on a lot of plays. Heil under center. He's landing in motion. They fake pitch it to him. And then from the other side, great run by Heisig. Should get him the first down. Yeah, Alex Heisig on that one. Does a great job coming all the way across the formation and picking up on that inside handoff.
Third and
short. I'm going to say just short. He's going to be at the 11-yard line. Heil back under center. Got Porter behind him. And that's what's going on. Heisig is one of his wings this time. But they hand it off to Porter. And that should get him the first down. Maybe even touch more. See where they spot this one. Good hard running by Porter. He's usually the guy that they give it to run up the middle, get that hard yardage. First down, Glenwood. Good running by Porter. Yeah, just got to change the move here for some reason. Another one.
There
we go. I feel like Jack would make some kind of comment about the old the Chain Gang songs. Heil back under center. He's going to pitch the ball off to Rosenmerkel, who shakes two different tackles, almost gets through another packing jersey for Aspen. On that tackle was a bunch of guys, including that was Jack Gervin. He's been all over the field for Aspen tonight. He does pick up a couple yards, and he would have been taken down for at least a loss of five had he not lost those other two tackles that came in there at the last second. So is that about the 4-yard line? No, we're the 9. Heil back under center, Porter behind him. Rosenmerkel on one side, Heisig to the other, Heisig in motion. They went ahead and straight up to Rosenmerkel, who does go ahead and get inside the 5-yard line.
Porter with the
spot that one about the 3-yard
line. Inside the 5-yard line to about the 3,
going to bring up 3rd and about 2 for the Indians. Glenwood can get a first down without getting into the end zone, but only by a yard. So they say this is 3rd and 3, it's more like maybe 3rd and 2 and change. So we'll see if they're going to decide to keep milking this clock a little more and just keep pushing ahead. Porter, one of the other guys inside. Heil back under center, sends Heisig in motion, fakes it and then does a pass. Touchdown to Glenwood, and that is complete. Sawyer McKinney off his tight end position, and it was smooth. Aspen wasn't even looking for it. They were focused on that run. They were convinced Glenwood was just going to try to keep running. They popped up and just threw it over the top. That's the first time you've called Sawyer McKinney's number tonight. I did return. Tyler Thomas out for the PAT. Only missed one tonight, and then went ahead and got a 2-point conversion to make up the difference. Snap is back, good, hold is good, kick is no good. Once again, just wide left. So that brings us to 41-6. Glenwood over Aspen, 8:25 left in the fourth quarter. This is KMTS. Yes. Welcome back to the Memorial Field. Glenwood's leading Aspen 41-6. Oh, for the most part. Couldn't feel like his last one on the, in the air, but Glenwood just really getting the ground game going.
Thomas kick.
Back to receive for Aspen, and he misses it. Oh, this is going to be dangerous for Aspen. Returner does pick up a little break, a couple tackles, but they are going to bring him down inside the 5-yard line. He's going to be down. I want to say about the 2. But with that return, and keeping it out of the end zone, so actually, good job for him.
Here's
number 4. What did they call him? Brady Hayes. Yeah. And he ran about 30 yards, sideways, trying to avoid the tacklers. But like you say, picked it up on the 1-inch line. McKinney in the shotgun once again as usual, searching the end zone behind him. And we've got, I believe, a timeout. Yep, timeout, Aspen. So we're going to step away ourselves. 8:15 left in the fourth. Glenwood leading 41 Aspen 6. This game, yes. Welcome back to Steeble Memorial Field. The Glenwood Demons are leading Aspen Steelers 41-6. 8 minutes, 15 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Aspen deep in their own territory. Ball, they save on the 4-yard line of Aspen. And I think we got false. More hankies? Yep, false start on Aspen. This is back on half distance. As if things were bad enough, let's go ahead and back up a little bit.
First and 13.
Ball on the 2-yard line. First and 15. We're under center. That's first on the scene. McKinney go under center. He's running. Design quarterback run. He actually gets the first down. Brings the ball out to their own 20-yard line. I don't think Glenwood was ready for that. They've only seen him in the shotgun all night. This is the first time that McKinney went under center. So first down for Aspen. They were deep in their own territory. Managed once again to get themselves out. Same kind of thing happened at the beginning of the game. They were able to get themselves out of trouble, but the drive went ahead and fizzled out. They weren't able to go anywhere. McKinney back into the shotgun. Switch in the shotgun with him. And McKinney under huge pressure. Glenwood takes him down. Pressure brought on by Trevor Champion, but ultimately sacked by Marcos Aragon. Great job by those two. Able to corral him. And they dropped him at the 10-yard line. And I believe McKinney is down still. He took a really good hit on it. He was running from Aragon and was just clobbered there at the end. That would not be good for them. They're already struggling tonight. Yeah. So McKinney down. I don't believe it is McKinney. Yep, it is. So we'll see if, we'll see if McKinney can get up here. They're going ahead, and Glenwood's still seeing some players out. You heard the excitement of some friends getting excited that somebody was coming in, but Glenwood coaches rightly telling them, you know, be respectful, got a down player, don't be doing that. And get excited when that new player makes a play. Stepping into safety for Glenwood when you heard all the excitement for William Marshall. We'll see how he takes to the varsity action here. Coming off for Glenwood, being Cecil Horrell, and number 11, Wyatt Trula, coming in to replace him. At quarterback for Aspen, number 19. Takes a snap, does a great pass. Wow. That thing was on a rope. Nate Thomas taking that one and lasering it out there. Number 19, Nate Thomas. And the pass was complete. And catch the receiver. I was so in on who was actually quarterback. Mr. Mazur. Thomas takes a little snap. Hands up. Switch up the middle. Trying to make the yard. Gets around the outside. Is able to pick up a couple yards. It'll give him a little bit of space, but it'll still bring a fourth down for Aspen. They're going to mark that at the... No, they only picked up one. I thought they picked up a few more. So they're going to mark that at the 23-yard line. So it's been running hard. I'll give them that. Now, 4th and 8 for Aspen. You know it's a story I hear Ron and Jack talking about a lot. And they are going to punt. Punt is up. Punt is good. Nice high one. And back to receive for Glenwood, but it went way over his head. Was Reese McMillan. McMillan blindly let go and stayed out of his way. And they're going to go down that ball at the 17-yard line. In any sports game, even if there is a big point difference, there's usually not a lot of difference. You change a couple things throughout the game, and it could make a big difference. And that's, I really feel like that's the case in this game. Look at me sounding like I actually know what I'm talking about. I think you do. It sounds to me. So I can repeat what I've heard all along. It's Glenwood's ball at their own 17-yard line. 6 minutes, 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Glenwood leads 41-6 over Aspen. And we'll see what Glenwood does. They can keep this running like it had been, or they might go ahead and completely put this away. I believe we might even have a new quarterback. We do. Oh, under center now for Glenwood. He hands it off to Rosen Merkel, I believe. Yes. Rosen. Oh, I said it's Thomas. Well, let's get 18s. I swear 18s. Randy Rosen Merkel. New quarterback, Joaquin Sandoval for Glenwood, number 7.
No being on the play.
But all they're running, and it doesn't really get me. It's a meaningless field. Speaking of number 7, they turned off Madden 18. I can't play. I'm stuck at 11 Super Bowls or whatever.
Oh, it's a tough life.
Sandoval under center, takes a snap, heads off. Actually keeps the ball. Go ahead and he picks up about 6 yards. And that'll get it out to the 24-yard line. Good running there by Sandoval. And a good fake. And just get the ball around straight up the middle. And I would guess that we will not see us. Somebody asked me to get the ball back. That we won't see McKinney back. At this point, keep healthy. Hopefully he recover for whatever the injury was. Who was the ball carry on that last play?
Sandoval. Okay,
yep. Sandoval back in the shotgun. He's got Rosenberg on one side, Porter to the other. And we've got a timeout going with. Let's step away as well. 4:57 left in the fourth quarter. Glenwood leads 41 over Aspen 6. Keep it right here. Okay, yes. Welcome back to Steeble Memorial Field, as Glenwood has got a commanding lead over Aspen, 41-6, with 4 minutes and 57 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Glenwood looking at a 3rd-and-3 with the ball on their own 24-yard line. We've got a backup quarterback, new quarterback, not backup, Sandoval, takes it, hands it off to Isaac. And Isaac, unable to go anywhere, actually gets a tackle for a loss. They're going to back that one up to the 15-yard line. It's called 16-yard line.
Dirt money on the tackle, loss of about 4 yards on the play back to the
16-yard
line. Fourth and 12 for the
game. That'll bring a 4th down for Glenwood. We have yet to see them punt tonight, but I believe they're going to do it this time. Number 3, Marcos Aragon, who's the punter. Back to receive for Aspen. We're gonna let it go, we're gonna let it bounce. Gonna probably wind up about 50-yard line. Aspen's the ball at 50. 4 minutes and 6 seconds left in the quarter. Glenwood probably gonna close this one out with a win. 41 points right now. Aspen's sitting at about 6. We'll see if we can get anything down. We'll see which quarterback comes out for him if McKinney comes back, or if they're gonna keep rolling with the backup who came into the last part of that last series. Nate Thomas. I'd say Nate Thomas threw that. He had a laser. Yeah, zipped it out there. So it is Thomas. He's back out there in the backfield with him. Is a new running back. Try to find him. It is Judd Gertman, who defensively has been all over the place. Thomas lasers it out, but it's incomplete. It was intended for. Number 5, Jesus Morales. And just bobbled. He had it. It was in his hands. He just couldn't handle the line. So brings up 2nd and 10 for Aspen. Ball at the 50-yard line. Which is helpful for us. And we've got some substitution confusion here. So Nate Thomas in the backfield. That quarterback. And sitting with him is Judd Gertman. Thomas with the shotgun snap. Takes it. I believe it was supposed to be a pass, but his receiver was gone. He's able to get back to the original line of scrimmage. Tackle on play for Glenwood. Alex Salen. And a whole bunch of other demons, but Alex is right there. Nate Thomas stays at quarterback. Judd Gertman in the backfield with him. They got 3 receivers, the right, one to the left. Shotgun formation. Take snap. Good snap. Good pass. Thomas. Oh, beautiful pass. His receiver just cannot hold on. The intended receiver was number 27, Lewis Brown. Just can't hold on to it. It was in his gut. Right there, he needed to try and use his hands a little more, but that is a tough spot catching, especially when you're in motion like that. In your hands. Speaking from a guy that couldn't catch a cold with a server. You're not alone at all. Brings up fourth down for Aspen. Fourth and 10. Mate stays in at quarterback. Jack Durbin still in the back of it with two receivers each side. Shotgun, pass, snap is good. Pass from Nate is up in the air. Nice big ball, and it is complete. Two. Charlie Williams, number 11. No, I thought it was six. Oh, by the way, it's first down for Aspen. Probably the biggest pick of the night, first down. Passing once again out of the shotgun, and it's deflected. Oh, it's deflected and into the end zone. They do single touchdown, Aspen. And scoring a touchdown on that one is Silich. Great, great reception. Glenwood defensive back did deflect it, and actually ended up deflecting right into Silich's arms. So Aspen finally finds the end zone after the majority of the game. And let's see if they go for two. I would be surprised if they didn't. Nate Thomas remains in at quarterback. They will go for two. Jed Durbin remains in the backfield with him. Two receivers to each side. Shotgun formation. Nate Thomas takes it. Passes it way outside, and they do give it to him. The receiver remains seated on the ground. And it is 21. No, Aiden. 2-point conversion is good for Aspen, which brings the score 41-14. Glenwood. 2 minutes, 58 seconds left in the fourth of this game. Yes. Welcome back to Steuben Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs as the Demons lead the Steers 41-14. Aspen finally finding some life on offense with, my brain is at the very age with Nate Thomas at quarterback due to the injury to Kyle McKinney. And Nate's thrown all over the field. He's looking good. Great arm. He's thrown it the right throws at the right time to get to his receivers. They've either been lasers or they've been nice bombs that only his receivers can catch. I feel like you should say that with a Scottish accent. Hey, the right throws. The right throws at the right time. So, we have seen Aspen try to do this little squib onside twice. So there's no reason to suspect that they wouldn't do it again. In fact, Glenwood's kind of thinking the same thing. They got just about everybody within 10 yards of the 50-yard line. And they do. Yep. And picks it up. Nice concentration on the part of Brady Jones. That was really important. Oh, that's the last one. Yeah, okay. I need to print this in larger print next time, apparently. Well, and Jesus Morales has been doing these little squids, and he's got the timing almost right, but unfortunately, his guys have to get down there and get in front of the receiver to kind of give him some problems. They can't interfere with him, but they can get in front of him. And that's what they got to do. They got to get down there to get in the way, essentially. So we'll be Glenwood's ball, first and 10, at the 40 of their own 49-yard line. 2 minutes, 54 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Aspen hoping just to keep the game competitive up until the end. And to be honest, this has been the most competitive they've been all game. Their offense finally showing some life, just a little too late. Joaquin Sandoval back in the quarterback, and he is under center. He's got Porter directly behind him, but they go ahead and pitch it. And that is to Raymond Rosenberg. Might well keep saying Tyler Thomas, but I swear that's number 18. Thomas is 10. Good running by Rosenberg. He does not quite pick up the first down. In fact, they're going to mark him a little shy. I thought he was only a yard shy of first down. But they're going to go ahead and mark him at the 42-yard line of Aspen. Sandoval back under center. Got Porter directly behind him. Isaac to one side. Rosenberg to the other. Pitches over to Isaac. Isaac cuts back and does get first down. Gets the ball up to the 34-yard line. Good run by Isaac. In on that tackle for Aspen was number 20. 20. Cole Kennedy. As well as a few of Steers doing a good job too there. Was that Rosenberg again? No, that was Isaac. That was Isaac. Okay. Sandoval back under center. Got Porter directly behind him. Same setup. Rosenberg takes the ball. He's got going up the middle. Out to the end. And that gets to the 28-yard line. Good run. In on that tackle for Aspen. They got the big guys involved in that one.
Eli Kessel with the first hit on that.
And then Connor Allen to follow him up. Good run by those guys. Kessel was able to actually come to the other side of the field. Sandoval back in under center. Rosenberg goes left. Isaac goes right. Porter right behind him. They do pitch it over to Isaac. Joaquin up front blocking. Isaac takes one really well. All the way outside. Is able to...
Isaac manages to turn the
ball. I believe he made it on the
first down. 10 yards on the
play, driven out of bounds. He did get 10 yards. And they have to move the chains. Glenwood is marching right back down the field. He did go out of bounds. That stops clock. Minute 4 left in the fourth quarter. Joaquin out to get the play. Rose charged back into the hole. Just probably not realize the clock actually isn't running. That was definitely a, let's take our time kind of job. Sandoval back under center. And Porter way back. He's there in the victory formation. They're going to go ahead and just shut this one out. And I don't think Aspen's going to take any timeouts to try and extend this anymore. So one more kneel down, and that will do it for the first game of the, what is technically, yes, technically, the 2020 season, right? Even though, if you look at the calendar, it's like 2021. But I had to move everything in the spring due to COVID, and so they're playing when they can. They got 6 games this season. All Western sub teams, they don't move over to the East for any reason, and Sandoval takes the knee, and that is it. Aspen comes down, Valley plays a tough one, but they actually had a lot of luck there at the end. Good effort by Aspen, they were all over the place, but just Glenwood was too much for them, as they beat Aspen tonight, 41-14. That is the end of the game. We'll be back with some totals, some insights, and I'll let you know what's coming next. Just keep it right here on KTS. Welcome back to Steuben Memorial Field in Glenwood Springs as the Glenwood Demons start the year off right with a big win over Aspen, beating them 41-14. The boys got to sing the fight song to end the night, always something to look forward to here in Glenwood. And Aspen really started coming on there at the end, but it was just too late. Just couldn't have enough going. And unfortunately, it was due to an injury. Kyle McKinney went down, and they went ahead and put in Nate Thomas. And Thomas was throwing it all over the place with some good throws. They really down the field, scored a touchdown, and get a 2-point conversion to bring the 14 points. But that was it. Glenwood went ahead and ran the clock all the way down and shut it out and shut down the game at 41-14. I have to wonder if, you know, we talked a lot about it's the first game of the season, and I know we talked a little bit about penalties and that kind of thing, and you know, you have to think, like I said, and like we both said, there definitely seemed to be some potential on the Aspen team there.
Agreed.
And the backup quarterback that you mentioned, Nate Thomas, thank you. Again, I'm not a football player, but
man, could he throw. I mean, he was just these lasers.
Yeah.
It almost, to me, seemed like it was more a matter of his receivers weren't yet used to catching those, you know. He did have a few that, you know, that it was right on, and the receiver was like, oh, the ball's there. Hello. Exactly. I'm used to waiting, you know, a couple seconds. And it's the other thing, too, that I don't know if this makes as much of a difference in football as it does in baseball, but McTominay is left-handed. He was throwing the ball left-handed. Am I crazy? I think you are.
Well, I remember seeing
that. So the question is that day, I swear I saw him throw the ball left-handed. Maybe he's ambidextrous.
Yeah, no, that could be. Because there were a few times, especially when he was under pressure, that he did have to get creative. And I think I did see him throw a few times.
Okay.
But he was under pressure a lot. Glenwood did a great job of getting that pressure through the ass and offensive line and just had him run around all the time. And he was down, was it just once or twice before that injury?
Once for sure.
Yeah.
Could have been a couple times.
And Glenwood just had that. But it does make a difference if you're used to the way the ball spins for a right-hand quarterback.
It is different with a left-handed quarterback.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, because, yeah, it's been the opposite direction. Listen to me. Nothing gets past me.
You know, I feel obligated to thank everyone again for listening tonight again. I know it's not Ron and Jack, and, you know, obviously, we certainly wish Jack the best again as he continues recovering from that nasty case of COVID, and we, I suppose, wish Ron a happy vacation.
Well, yes, because we might be a little jealous.
But, yeah, it, like I said,
enjoy the time, Coach, because we'll head back to the salt mines here before too long.
Right, exactly. And we could wrap this up if I could make my computer actually do what I want it to do. But it's, yeah, again, you know, just trying to get these games on the air. That's a decision we made as a staff a year ago. Do you believe it's been a year?
I cannot, to tell you the truth. It doesn't seem, it seems like it's been longer,
right?
Yeah, totally.
But that's a decision that we made as a staff a year or so ago. And we said, you know what, we want to do as much as we can for as many people as we can, as long as we can. And we certainly had the opportunity to do that during basketball season because, you know, a shortened season and lots of teams playing, and so we're happy to do that. And, you know, just continue, why? The technology works great, except when you don't, you know, when you really need it to. There we go.
Well, that's what makes it so nice.
Right, exactly.
It's a convenience where it is and a royal pain it was.
Right?
But a huge game on the ground for Glenwood. That's no big surprise. They've always been a good running team, but the few times they passed it was perfect timing. And the passes were just right. You know, there might have been one or two that were overthrown or just outside, but when they were passing, they were complete, they were good passes. And times that Aspen wasn't expecting those passes at all. Aspen, on the other hand, when they went ahead and actually did run the ball, they were making some decent yardage when they needed to. And there was a couple times they completely fooled Glenwood by having a couple quarterback design runs. But when they were passing, they were just a little off. That's probably the best way to put it. And then it was probably just, you know, different arm, different throwing, and they were able to go ahead and, you know, complete stuff, march down the field, and pick up that last 8 points to give us our final score. So with the RPI, what are going to be the repercussions in the RPI following this game? Obviously, I know that it's strength of schedule,
right?
So it depends on how much your opponent either wins or loses to other teams or over other teams. But for Glenwood, it's also a pretty good spread tonight, so I have to think that would...
if this doesn't rocket Glenwood up the RPIs, because you said they were 25?
They were 25, yeah.
And Aspen was 18. So if this doesn't send them over 18, I would be surprised.
Mm.
Will it drop Aspen? Probably a little bit. It really depends on how the rest of the games go this weekend, and unfortunately, we don't have any other area scores at the moment. And some of them won't happen tomorrow, either.
Right.
Like number 6, Basalt.
Right.
And they are showing up playing...
They are playing Salida tomorrow.
I don't recall what Salida's ranking is. But, yeah, if Assault goes out and wins like their ranking says they should, they'll continue to stay strong. Rifle, 16. So we'll see how they do. Coal Ridge is 28. So they're out of all of the local teams in 3A. They're down below everybody. But if they beat Rifle, of course, that'll send them up. So, it really, this being week one, it'll be really interesting to see how things end up shaking out once they send them. 2A teams in the area, of course, include Roaring Fork, Grand Valley. I believe those are the only 2A teams, right?
Yes, okay, yes.
So, and they do play each other on April 9th, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe see how scheduling everything goes. And see what we can bring in for what teams, not just one, but everything else we can try and cover. We'll get the coach back, and, well, within reason, you know. We'll probably try and you know, contact other stations, you know, for games that are all the way to, you know, practically New Mexico and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, anything that would require a two-night stay. Anytime you have to spend a night and then get up and drive the next morning to actually get to the venue.
Right.
I'm joking.
Well, it'll be interesting because, of course, COVID restricts the amount of players you can have on a bus.
So then,
right,
do you, like Aspen did today, they brought one bus, 29 players, where they have significantly more, 67, I believe you said?
Something like
that, yeah.
So they
can
travel so much,
but that's, this is their varsity, obviously that entire roster is, you know, their varsity, the JV, the freshman.
Right.
Glenwood does the same thing. They obviously don't dress everybody, especially now. Usually during home games you do. You want the entire team on the field supporting everybody and all the activity out of the field, but they just weren't able to do that with all the protocols going on right now. So it'll be interesting to see how many people travel if they do good, keep it one bus, keep it 29. And that doesn't even include coaches, which I believe are traveling separately.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's, they may have one or two coaches on board, but
everything is different.
It really is.
And
having,
even if things theoretically will start right lighting up here.
Right.
And having said that, I heard that we might be hearing some exciting news maybe in the next couple weeks about maybe some developments. You know, when Governor Polis, I was speaking to the Glenwood Chamber the other day, he said that by mid-April, they're hoping to, he wasn't completely clear because obviously they don't know for sure, but he said at one point they might go to green, which is the lowest level on the COVID dial. He also said at some point in the near future, they're probably going to completely dissolve the COVID dial and give the local control over public health orders back to the local communities for help. And obviously that's going to make things a little different too, because different communities are going to want to deal with that in different ways. You know, even within the Garfield County, we've seen, you know, different communities in the county that have had a different opinion and wanted to do things a little bit differently. And so it'll be interesting to see how that is all reconciled. And of course, schools, some schools being in the county, some schools being in municipalities, I don't know who is going to have the final say on that. I know that the school boards, of course, have a final say as well. And
You can't even narrow down the districts either. You can't say that the districts are all going to have all the schools.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because we've got, you know, four school districts in our area, and Aspen the parachute. And so,
and we saw how that changed. You know, RE1 was really not
any spectators anything for basketball,
right?
And the individual schools started changing that. So,
yeah.
And it's, talk about influx.
Yeah, well, right, exactly.
And I think I got my vaccine this morning.
You don't look like you're getting ready to start eating human flesh.
Thank you for saying that. I was trying to avoid making light. But no, that's, I mean, the fact it is available out there for anybody that wants it, and that it's moving as fast as it is means that things will hopefully get back to quote unquote normal. Well, for us, was there ever really a normal? I wasn't gonna go there. I wasn't gonna go there at all. All I can say is Godspeed to Coach Jay.
Amen.
And amen to that. And hopefully Ron is back quickly, so we'll figure out how to get a game on next week. I hope. But we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have the backups in again somewhere else. We'll see. Right, exactly. Or at least we'll get a hold of Cortez. Not Cortez. Yeah, Montez. Yeah, Cortez. I know the KRTZ that's down there. I'm pretty sure that they still do local sports, so we'll get a hold of them and see if they'll let us carry the broadcast so that we can have the Glenwood game on, and so that'll free us up to. Double coverage. Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of that. Like we said a year ago, right? We all agreed as much as we can for as many listeners as we can. All right. Before we wrap up, was there anything that stood out that you wanted to pass on individual player stat-wise? Did you think we already covered? Oh, there is that. It's interesting. I think that I may have missed some because I know in that second half you called Raymond Rosenmichael a lot.
Yeah.
And I only have him for 13 carries, 2.6 yards per carry. I feel like maybe not. I guess it was all pretty much
straight ahead of course, running.
Yeah. Let's see, Alex Heisig also had three carries for 6 yards. It's interesting, in that second half, things really evened up between Nace Lamick and Dallahan, who of course were the workhorses.
Right.
In that the first half, and they both end up almost 8 yards per carry, 134 total yards for Nace Lamick, and then 153 yards for for Dallahan. Don't quote me on that.
I think you're pretty close. I think that's definitely better than the stats I ever took, so
we'll right back. Well, you know, give me... What I need to do is I need to go back and I need to listen to Ron and Jack and try and keep up.
That in itself, those two, 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years.
You don't get that smooth and that official without that amount of time.
And I know I talked about this before, but it was magic from the very first time. But first, literally, Ron, this is my old teacher, Jack's boy, Jack, Ron, Jack, and literally, it's time for the game back at that district tournament back in 1999, and it's just been magic ever since, and let me say again that, you know, we really hope that Jack returns to the broadcast booth in some way. You know, maybe he'll do like some of the, Joe Buck did toward the end, and, Then Scully, and you know, just do home games or.
Yeah, we'll see what you make out of with today's technology. You never know.
That's true.
We can set Jack up with a remote system and he can do it from wherever he plays. There you go.
But that can make us back to our wonderful technology.
Yeah, indeed.
So, I think it's a good. You think that's a wrap?
I think that's a wrap.
Well, as we're going to listen. Yeah, I know. They're kind of cleaning up around us. So, like, okay, guys, Ron and Jack never take this long. What's up? I do want to thank our sponsors. You know, Flooring America has sponsored every single high school sports broadcast we've had going back to 1997.
Wow.
With Harv and Doug. So, definitely appreciate Flooring America. Also, of course, Berthoud Motors, GMC, and Mr. Mack. Then also Carl Ciani, who, of course, has been a big supporter over the last several years, as has Alpine Bank, and
the only thing I forgot to do was do this for you, because I couldn't have gotten that far.
I think you got them all. I swear there's one I'm missing.
Bighorn Toyota.
There you go.
Yeah, we can't forget about Bighorn.
Yes, thank you. I'm so sorry, Jen, if you're listening.
Thank you very, very much.
And thank you all.
Yes, absolutely. That's what it takes. We could not do all this without you guys.
And thank you for all of you that are still listening.
Patiently.
to hear the rebroadcast, because, you know, as if it wasn't bad enough.
Let's go ahead and relive this.
All right. But seriously, thank you all for listening, and thank you for being willing to do this.
Thanks for joining me.
Like I said, I couldn't imagine talking as long as we did.
As I said before,
you asked the boss to help you out, and he's going to complain about it, and then he's never going to shut up.
That's all.
Until now,
thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you about next week, and have more high school football in the spring. Right here on New Brand Country, KMTS.